not participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Friday, here. Have a beer.
Weekend's here, get a can of beer.
Hi, Joe.
As you are, as a friend.
Right on.
As I want you.
Thank you, E.
Be.
You know, take it back.
As a friend.
That's not really a happy Friday.
No, no, you need
not
another pick me up.
Yeah, like number two.
Hold on.
How about a pick me up?
And number two, you know, is, as we found out, the most downloaded ringtone. This one. Don't you remember we had this on the
but
show
not,
a while
not
ago?
Not this particular version of it.
Oh, no, it's this one. This is the version. Boy, I'm getting like deja vu. I feel like my phone is ringing right now. Hello?
I love this song.
Is this me? Friday.
Big wheels keep on turning.
Friday is here. Have a beer. We can't hear. Get a can of beer.
That's what we heard Joe say.
It's a good mantra.
Just saying to himself.
Friday's weekend's here. Weekend's here. Get a can of beer.
Yeah.
Elvis.
Big wheels.
This Rumsfeld thing today on TV.
Yeah, what were you, your props for giving me the heads up?
Well, I called Mike, you know, and keep in mind, I can't talk with Elvis singing, or the fake Elvis singing.
Well, now, because I'm going to talk about the pictures of the dead, the people. While that's serious,
and the fact that Rumsfeld's testifying,
yes.
That's all very serious.
Very much so.
There was a surreal moment. I called Mike right before the protesters broke. It's my sixth sense, my TV sixth sense.
It's like giving me a good heads up on a car chase.
I called Mike and I said, are you watching Rumsfeld? It was about 5 till noon East Coast time. He said, no. I said, you should turn it on because it's reality TV
right.
For intelligent people. Now, get what I'm saying. I know that... You know, Jesus, these people are dead and the war and what the soldiers did. But you're seeing these events as they're actually happening.
Right.
And right after I call Mike up to say, hey, you know, check this out, there's the TV luck coming through.
Man, I mean, they have this huge protest in the Senate hearing room.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're going to see this on TV tonight.
Oh, yeah.
While Dumsfeld is sitting up there attempting to answer a question with one of his prepared answers, from the back of the room... This is in Congress. The back of the room. How many people? We say 20 people?
It looked like there were a whole row of them.
They all stand up and they pull out these gigantic signs that say
Fire Rumsfeld. And they're saying something. You can't hear what they're saying, but it's like, bah, bah, bah.
It's,
bah, bah, bah.
It's almost like, you know, we're here, we're queer, we're not
right.
Going skiing.
Right.
But then after a while, it boils down to just Fire Rumsfeld. Fire Rumsfeld.
And the security, I mean, really snapped to it. It just went on for about 30 seconds.
Unbelievable.
And then they slowly ushered them all out while they were still chanting.
And because there's, like, no MC, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's not like Ellen...
No guy to... Well, there's the chairman of the committee,
yeah,
but he doesn't say anything.
But he doesn't know about giving color commentary, so nobody's saying anything while this is happening. And the TV people, while the...
I thought for a second that the TV guys were going to cover it like they do when a fan races on the field at a ball game.
Uh-huh.
I thought they were actually going to not show it
right.
Because they didn't want to justify the protesters.
No, not only did they show it, and there was no other commentary. There was, you just hear the people screaming Fire Rumsfeld.
One of the ladies had a really nice spring hat.
big
Remember that
floppy,
big red hat?
Big floppy hat.
Big floppy red hat.
That's always good
so
at a protest.
As they're walking out the door, they being escorted out, and they're still screaming Fire Rumsfeld, the director, whoever it is, cuts to a shot of Rumsfeld,
uh-huh.
who's just sitting at the desk, with all of this going on behind
just
him.
Just in the middle of enjoying the best day of his life.
And you know he's sitting there thinking, oh, Christ, why me? Why me? I'm not going to turn around and look at it.
Right.
I'm not going to look at it.
Right.
Even though all hell has broken loose behind Donald Dumsfeld.
They're not turning around.
I think if any of them speak and acknowledge it, then their words have to go into the record. And by not speaking, this is a way of keeping the protest out of the record, even though we all have the videotape.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Right.
Well, good security.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Scary a little bit, actually.
United States of America.
They just went on and on and on. And then, you know, like, where are the cops?
Right.
And it was very Jerry Springer-ish. I mean, again,
yeah.
more bad.
bad PR for the USA.
Wow.
Because you know tonight when they turn it on, you know, Al Jazeera Idol. You know, right? But first, let's get a news update. Look how crazy these friggin' Americans
are. Yeah, and if you take one thing out of the hearings, it's more to come. That we've got more. We've got a videotape. We've got more
That's
pictures.
What we hear now. Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, this is not good.
And, you know, God, I hate to make this so politically heavy. Am I wrong? Did the Red Cross not, like, say this is going on a year ago?
Yeah, the Red Cross has reported prisoner abuses. Now, the very, very latest is not just the videotape, but... and this will be good for PR, too. Not just the detainees, mm-hmm. but Iraqi citizens.
Oh.
Non-detainees, just the people of Iraq may have been subject to abuse, too.
Gee, and war is usually so pleasant.
really.
Yeah, hold on. I'm sorry. I can't do it. It's too depressing. I mean, the protest against everything is one thing.
It is depressing.
Yeah. So let's get in that weekends here, have a beer kind
Very
of
good. Let's do that.
I'll dedicate this one to JoJo Artinger.
Oh, Dallas, you just ain't cutting it.
EAP. Weekend's here. Have a beer. Hey, Mike.
Yes. Yes, Mrs. Saturn.
Hey, look at that. Here she comes. Here comes that girl again.
Did you watch Friends last night?
I took a little look at it, Mrs. Carmichael.
The final episode was on last night. In a surprise ending, the Friends were all fired by Donald Trump.
That's fantastic, Mrs. Shannon. That's a money joke card.
The final episode of Friends was on last night. Sure, it's sad, but at least we can always count on Frasier.
Fire Bitman. Fire Bitman.
The final episode of Friends was on last night. I got misty-eyed when all of the Friends got together one last time and said goodbye to Colonel Potter.
Oh, my God.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah!
Wait and see.
Right. Hey, hold on. This is very exciting. To start the show today, and officially say start the show, joining us now, Secretary of State, Donald Rumsfeld. Hello? Hello?
Senate on hold.
Hold
music.
On. Let me see. I went the wrong line. Hello?
Open up a can of beer. The weekend's here. It's Donald Rumsfeld.
Hey, no, even I'm fooled. I thought Tom Gavin was on.
Don, I will answer any question you have, and Mike and Buzz as well.
Well, I only have one thing to say. Hey now.
Yeah. Mike's Reach Around Cafe.
Is this the Morris Jones guy?
No, this is Donald Rumsfeld.
You better watch it. You're going to get yourself in the book.
I will not. I do not want to be in the book, sir.
Eject.
All right, goodbye. Eject. Goodbye. Eject.
Love you.
Goodbye.
More to come. More pictures of
you. Go. John and Mike, anytime, from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You're not still there, are you? Hello? Okay.
Good man.
Is he gone? You know, I don't know. I didn't hear the thing on the phone. I didn't hear the disconnect thing. The line is, I believe he's still there.
I think he might be the pick up the penny guy.
You think so?
No.
Oh.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Hi
there. Oh, there's the other guy.
There,
he hung up.
One true enemy. Himself. Yeah. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Canabeer. And all the ships at sea. Say hi to the original stars of the motion picture New York Minute, Don Geronimo.
Hey.
And his twin, Mike O'Mara.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, a new episode on this Friday. 05/07/04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. It's March 7th. Hot 4.
March 7th.
May 7th.
May 7th.
Okay. May 7th. Sorry about that. Call us from anywhere in America.
And I'm gonna say this while I can. It's almost cicada time.
877-365-3636. That's the national number from Canada. Please to be calling 800-636-1067. And Washington, D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067.
You know, some of them have been spotted.
Now, you have to remember.
You know, they're already out.
Mike.
That's what I'm saying.
But we do a national show.
I know.
It's a we're going to cover it because it's a Washington, D.C. area phenomenon.
Don.
Yes, Mike.
Some of them are already out of the ground.
They're bugs. They're bugs that make noise.
Some of them have already arrived. And there are going to be billions of them.
You know, I think we did this bit 17 years ago.
How'd it go?
When they were here before.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
We ignored them.
We did. We did not.
We ignored them, and they're angry about it.
We did not. 17 years ago, when this strain of bug came to the Washington, D.C. area, and we have to say, this is not a joke. This is here in Washington.
They can play?
The cicada.
Washington, D.C.
Hello, everybody.
Washington, D.C.
Rob's rubbing up against my arm like he's got something in the machine. I thought it was the cicadas. The John Cicadas.
Washington, D.C.
Right, that's where they're going to come to.
Washington, D.C. Cicadas.
You know,
Washington, my home.
I don't want to panic anybody, but they all talk about how harmless they are.
This is the real sound of them.
Just wait.
These are bugs.
Try to get one out of your nose.
These are bugs, and with no offense to my best buddy, the fine gentleman from Virginia.
Hello.
He is a product of the mass hysteria that's being churned out already by the local media.
I'm not getting hysterical. I'm getting excited.
I read the strain that's coming out this year will actually get in your hair and lay eggs, and you go crazy trying to get them out. It'll kill
you. There you go.
It'll kill you. Eat your brain.
They lay the eggs in your ear.
They're bugs.
No kidding.
They're bugs. They're bugs that come once every 17 years. And
for God's sakes, don't eat them.
They make a lot of noise. And yeah, that's the other thing. People now have got cookbooks and they're eating them and barbecuing them. And
you have to eat them at a particular stage in their development. You can't eat them when they're fully mature.
They're just an average squirrel-sized bug.
But I just wanted to let everyone know. Some of them have been sighted around the area already.
Here's one of your people from Baltimore. Brooke?
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air, Brooke.
Hi, I just wanted to let you guys know that I've fallen crawling out of its little hook today.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, listen, you better lock your doors, honey. Lock your doors. Don't leave the house.
Yeah, they're all going to be around. This weekend, I think Sunday. They'll eat right through the lock.
You're so funny. You think
Cicada
Sunday.
Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Last time they were around, I think I was 7, and I loved them, but I don't know about this time.
I want to tell you, I remember the last time they were around, too. I hated it because people got so wrapped up in the fact that they're just stupid bugs.
They're
stupid bugs.
All right.
That show up.
They're going to hear that.
Once every 17 years. I wasn't afraid of them 17 years ago. I'm not afraid of them now.
Sweet dreams, Don. If you can sleep.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, everybody, just keep in mind, this is a local phenomenon. We do a nationally, regionally syndicated coast-to-coast show.
Yeah, but that's not going to take me out of this panic.
No, and you'll still be downplaying it when we say, regretfully, thousands have passed.
But keep diminishing it, Don.
Yes, that's
keep low-keying it, and
I will.
Until all those billions of red eyes are squarely on you.
I'm yelling at you.
They're out in Ohio.
The mirthless buzz.
How do you know that I don't enjoy them? How do you know that I don't enjoy everything about the cicada? How do you know that?
It's a reverse smokescreen.
I know that you were, this is the way you were 17 years ago. That's how you know you've worked with somebody for a long time. You were just like this 17 years ago.
Never changing.
What's the big deal? 17 years ago, they said these bugs came 17 years ago, like in 1950 or 60, whatever 70. It was.
You know, like they go underground, they live down there for 17 years.
Underground.
They come out of the ground, they mate, and then they die.
That's
and everybody
novel.
Always thinks.
That's novel.
People think that's all there is to it.
People are
I'm telling you, people have to investigate
this. But Mike, that is all there is to it. And they make
money.
That is all there is to it.
Just because you lived through it in 87, people are just assuming they'll live through it again.
You assume you make an ass out of you and me.
Right.
That's right.
Come on.
The spin control on these insects that we're going to have in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
The spin control on these bugs is ludicrous. And I'm telling you, they're just trying to avoid a panic.
True.
Wrap all your trees in foil.
I don't want to be the first one to say biblical styled plague.
Right.
I don't want to be the first one to say ratings cancer. But keep talking.
This is going to be the year they come out of the ground and they're hungry.
Okay, let them come.
And they have an appetite for human flesh.
Let them come out. I will eat them as well. Let them try to eat me. I will eat them. I say, bring me your youngest cicada. Bring me like the placebo of the embryo.
The larva.
Yeah, the unborn.
The larva.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The goo.
That's like the grossest word in the English language. One of them. Yeah. Larva.
I am not afraid of these bugs. I will drink their larva. I will. 17 years ago. Big deal. Big freaking deal. They're bugs. Buy a can of Raid.
Well, you know, we've doubled the population in our area in that 17 years. We've gotten smaller physically as people in that 17 years.
And they've gotten larger.
We've shrunken as a people, and we're not able to handle them.
And I would like to think that we've grown an audience over those years, except now I feel the audience. Except for those people like yourself in the immediate metro area who have been worked up into an absolute fit about these bugs.
If you want to mock me for providing a public service, you go right ahead. I'm just telling everybody, be prepared. I'm not trying to get anybody to panic. I'm just going to say, it could be this weekend.
Now, they've already said the bugs. This was so stupid. I told you yesterday. Why do you make me hit you? I told you yesterday.
I get a little wound
up. They announced on the TV that the bugs will be here on the 15th. That's not until next Saturday. And you can't see them outside.
Looking out the window,
you dope.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Wait, do you see when they do a beeline for that window?
Yeah, okay. Well, I tell you what, if they do make it,
they're all be sitting there with their little legs. You know what they're communicating with us?
Get the guy with the Hawaiian shirt. Get the guy with the Hawaiian.
Well, I say everybody in this room is dead. Then
I know we're all going to be dead. While this is going on,
yes.
While the Iraq stuff's going on, and you're worried about the cicadas, hold on. Here's news. Maybe it's not Mike. Maybe it's not just a local phenomenon.
Okay. So.
Hello, Ben.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
All right, we're doing great. Go ahead, inform me now. The cicadas are in more than just the D.C. area.
That's right. I tell you,
John cicadas.
Down where I work, there's a buddy of mine. Came from Ohio, and he had the pleasure of experiencing the cicada phenomena over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he informed me that they're actually in like 17 states.
Uh-huh.
So it's not just a D.C. phenomena.
Great.
17 years, 17 states, 17 unexplained deaths.
There are 17 unexplained deaths right now. Those radios that have turned off because they don't even know what we're talking about.
We're talking about a bug.
A bug.
We're talking about a bug that lives underground for 17 years.
What?
And then emerges when the ground becomes warm.
But,
now, I didn't have the pleasure of being down here the first in 84.
Oh, you missed it. It was a true joy because I remember for about 2 weeks I had to talk to dopes like you every day on the radio.
Do they, they just descend like the plague?
No, they don't descend.
They're bugs. They live in the ground like many bugs do. They only come out once every 17 years.
Right. Listen to them, sir. Don't worry about them.
Correct.
Yeah. Everything's going
to
be just fine.
Listen
about
to me.
Your lines.
As I recall, in 87, they only flew away with a handful of infants.
But, Rob, they were just bad kids.
That's right. Well, they can tell. They're a little bit.
Yeah, and it's not like they killed them or anything. They brought them to Spain.
They're like Black Peter. Black Peter's cicada.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cicada, like John Cicada.
Pete Cicada.
All right, see you. Goodbye. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you for educating me.
Hey, my pleasure, my
Sometimes
friend.
I never learn nothing if I'm not on this show. Oh, here you go. Really, seriously, what the F is wrong with people? More important than any of this other stuff.
Okay.
More important even than the end of Friends.
Right, really.
Listen to this. From Europe. You know that guy, Beckham,
the soccer player.
Right.
Right.
Well, he's allowed himself to be photographed, videotaped, for 67 minutes, taking a nap.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing the videotape at a museum in London. And crazy, crazy women are waiting in line to stand around. And here's a picture of them looking at the monitor of David Beckham sleeping. And one of the women, we're going to get this place on the show next week.
Oh, good.
One of the women says, the video changed her life. She has lasted the full 67 minutes. If you wander in and you watch maybe 5 minutes or 20 minutes of David Beckham sleeping, and then you meander out, maybe... maybe you won't see when he rearranges his arms and a flickering smile drifts across his face.
Oh.
He agreed,
wow.
He agreed to be videotaped while he was taking a nap.
Right.
And now they're showing this at a museum and crazy broads. Now, you want to be worried about something? Worry about that, not bugs.
No, I think you're right.
Don't worry about bugs. Worry about
them. I'll worry about the bugs, but I'll worry about that, too. That's mm-hmm. a disturbing story.
Worry about these people.
Why is this guy so hot?
Well, he's metrosexual. He's like like the Ryan Seacrest of soccer.
I mean, I know soccer around the world much more popular than it is here in the States.
And he's married to a Spice Girl.
Yeah,
Posh right?
Spice, right?
Yes, and he's having sex with other girls, always.
Did you say soon to be not?
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Are they breaking up?
She found text messages from his girlfriend on his cell phone.
Well, Buzz, you can doctor text messages.
Very true.
Yeah, it's in Europe.
You can doctor text.
Aren't you allowed about like 6 or 7 girlfriends in Europe?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought that was true here.
That's the that's the Prince Charles rule. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hey, speaking of, I know you play the lottery every day.
Uh-huh.
How'd you do yesterday?
Didn't win yesterday. Gonna play again today.
Good luck. Play my numbers, too.
All right.
And, Rob, you want your numbers played?
Please.
Okay.
You got it.
Mike gets a pass on that.
Yeah, I don't need to play.
Well, maybe you do. Maybe you do.
Yeah.
You could win a lot of money in the lottery.
You're right.
You know, this evil joke is courtesy of Buzz, the nice one.
The nice one.
Right. Yeah.
The nice one.
That's right.
We all know the joke, though.
Hello?
And here she's Buzz, you are a funny son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You really are. Hi, honey.
Hi.
Let me tell you in advance, happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. Thank you, sweetheart, but just being married to you has been pleasant enough lately.
There you go. Isn't that nice? And Buzz, and how awful you are, Buzz, for making that joke.
Well, you know, I kid.
How awful you are for making that joke.
I kid, and happy Mother's Day, Frida.
What? It wasn't a joke about me, was it, Buzz?
No, not at all.
No. Oh, all right.
Was a joke about Buzz's lovely wife.
Oh, all right. Well, that's okay.
I think we're each allowed... Yeah. You know, a certain number
of jokes.
I'm very excited about this Mother's Day weekend.
No, I am.
Why?
Because I'm taking my girls.
Oh, you're going to see your mom.
To see my mamo.
Yeah, that's
nice.
I'm going to see my 84-year-old mamo.
There you go, Mike. That's how you do it.
That's going to be a good Mother's
Day.
Good.
And we've decided, now what are we doing? You've picked some place that we're going to, right?
Barty helped because he is the reason I am a mother, so he made the reservation.
Good. Yeah. So we'll have the nice nuclear family thing on Sunday. Now, please, honey, I got two things I want to ask you about, and then I'll let you do whatever fabulous adventures you're doing. First, would you or would you not agree that, and I've complained about the bathroom for 2 months now, do you or do you not agree, and I don't care if they're listening or not, because, well, what are they going to do at this point? What are they going to do, put a pipe bomb in our toilet? Honey, what do you think about the progress on the bathroom?
I think it was poor planning on my part. I tried to do it so it would be done really quickly, and I did not pull it off. And so the parts are just taking longer to come in, and I'm sorry. I told you
Wow. I did not rehearse this. I swear to Christ, I didn't rehearse this with my wife.
She just apologized.
Do you hear this?
Yeah.
Bush, Dumsfeld, do you hear this? Like, I didn't have to pull her before Congress and threaten to fire her as my wife.
That was a legitimate apology that I did.
I feel very guilty because I could
That's
do it quickly.
Right.
What was that, honey?
I thought I could do it quickly, and I feel guilty because I led you to believe that it would be done quickly.
You've taken responsibility and apologized.
So the anger should not be directed at the soldiers in this case, the guys that are working in the bathroom. The anger should be directed at you, the secretary of
the house.
Of the house.
The bathroom, right. I think that ultimate responsibility is mine.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll stop bitching about it. I'll yell at you about it. Friends, you watched it. Like, and you're dopey about Friends. You love Friends. Yeah. They are your friends.
Here's the thing. I have Friends in perspective so that I think it was a pleasant television show. Not like, you know, there's more hoopla on losing friends than it is when a loved one dies.
However,
it's ridiculous.
However, you do watch. Come on, now you hate to admit that you watched TV to begin with.
I've watched it since the beginning. I have watched it. I like sitcoms. I've liked Friends. I thought it was funny.
We were actually really, I mean, like a kind of a mutiny. Forced to put it on in the restaurant last night.
Not surprised.
And
I would look around cafe
for the last 10 minutes. Silence.
Yeah.
People were watching it, and this one girl was standing there kind of clutching her hands together and looking up at the screen, and then when the whole thing about the answering machine, I was like, oh, there she is at the door. And a bunch of the guys were laughing at her.
What did you? Now, we were watching this in separate rooms, obviously. I'm watching CSI. But, you know, in this regard, you know, I complain about my son being home because he's a big load and he hadn't gotten a job or anything. But it is so delightful to have someone of a lower intellect in the house, at least as far as pop culture goes, someone who I can sit with. We watched Survivor last night.
I'm not wild about you both sitting out on the deck smoking cigars.
He's a 19-year-old lad.
Oh, is he enjoying a good cigar now?
Now, what are you going to do? Really, what are you going to do with it? And then don't call me up and tell me I'm a bad parent. What's he going to do? Go out and do it, you know, without me being there?
That's not like, I mean, it's a special occasion, right?
Yeah, no, it's the first time he's ever had a cigar outside with me.
I'm not wild about that. I'm not wild about you smoking, A, for your health, and then...
Well...
You know,
like Billy Joel sings, honey. You know that Billy Joel song. It's my life. But, I'm doing everything else right. You know?
I thought it was a cigar song. I thought you were going to say, we didn't start the fire.
But it's great to have someone to watch really dumb stuff on TV with and analyze with. And, Rob, that's why I didn't call you last night. Sorry. Sorry, your spot was filled last night by my son.
His favorite son.
Yeah, by my favorite son.
Well, the next time you do that, remember that this morning the pillow is still wet from last night's sleep.
Anyway, I'm watching the dumb shows with Bart, and Frida's watching, I guess, the smart shows. You know, she's watching
and Rob's crying.
The hour-long Friends, and then she's watching the other thing, and... We turn on Friends in my room, and we watch the last 5 minutes, and we're sitting there, and we're going, this is so stupid.
It's so predictable.
This is really so...
I mean, ridiculously so predictable.
So stupid. Mm-hmm. Honey, how could you possibly watch that show and not just say, oh, okay, it's stupid? You liked it, right?
I thought it was stupid, too. No, I thought that
You didn't say that last night.
No, I liked the show, but no, it was predictable. You knew they were going to end up together. You knew the baby. I mean, it was like...
Well, the Ross and Rachel thing was very predictable, but I'll tell you something. When Chandler and Monica had twins, the waterworks.
The Bings.
I was...
Chandler...
You didn't see that coming.
Chandler Bing. What? You mean... There's a second? Come on, Matthew Perry.
Now, I didn't watch the show, but I read about it this morning. Are we supposed to believe the doctor didn't realize that this woman was having twins?
Rob, see? Stop it.
Siamese twins.
Stop it. You're ruining Friends.
Don't question. Yeah.
Don't question.
The doctor knew it. The mother, and this is what the one thing that bothers me, the mother was so dumb. When the doctor told her that he heard two heartbeats, she thought, that he meant her heartbeat and the baby's heartbeat. And I'm thinking, you want the child of this idiot?
there's great writing.
That is a terrifically witty twist of events, isn't it?
There's great writing.
And
you tell me that I take TV too seriously. You were just talking about these people like they're real people, like the mother. How dumb could the mother be that when the doctor says, I hear through heartbeat? Honey.
I'm talking about it from the plot point of view, that I would be nervous about that mother's child.
I was only thinking one thing. I was just jealous of David Schwimmer at the end there when he gets really suck face.
Yeah, and you know if it's the last time.
Oh, yeah.
You know he went all, you know, his big smelly mouth.
European rules.
All over.
European rules.
Gross. How friggin' gross is that?
Gross for her. For him, it's like, Sunday brunch.
I'll tell you, all the men on that show have aged poorly. They all started out. Well, with the exception of David Schwimmer, who was never cute, but the other two started out cute and have aged so much worse than the women have. The women have gotten hotter over the 10 years.
Now you're going to make me sound like a faggot. I will tell you that I think that Joey, now listen to me talking about them like I know them. Matt LeBlanc and the guy that I met at the Super Bowl, Matthew Perry.
Right.
I think they're dreamy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matthew Perry, he's
dreamy.
92 different weights and degrees of...
Hey, he's had a problem with Vike. He had a problem with Vike.
Health concern.
And he's had a lot of... I mean, he's gone from ugly to nice-looking back and forth. And Joey, he is nice-looking, but he really needs an eye lift. I mean, he's got the super bags under
his
eyes.
See, this is the culture of celebrity makeovers that we live in now.
Will you listen to this woman?
I'm just saying, as comparison, the women have gotten hotter and hotter and hotter.
I disagree, and Courtney Cox is...
Or have your taste changed?
I still love Jennifer Aniston, but I think Courtney Cox, now what was the deal? Is she pregnant in real life?
Yes, she's pregnant.
She looks a little fat.
She's big. Yes.
Yeah, and every other time I've seen the show, she always looks anorexic to me.
Right.
And I always get her mixed up with a girl on Family Ties.
Wasn't she on the celebrity smelly list, too?
No, Brad Pitt was. Oh, yeah, no, yes,
Courtney
she
Cox.
Was.
Courtney Cox.
Yes.
Was.
Yep. Yes, she was.
All I thought about watching
smelly
her
celebrity.
Last, yep.
Bad B.O.
Arquette Factor.
Yeah. All right, darling, will you please be rating the final episode of Friends on a scale of 1 to 4?
I will give the 10 years that Friends had.
Just last night, please.
Well, last night I'd give it like, you know, a 5. It was average.
On 1 to 4?
If they had to wrap it up, I understand that.
On a scale of one to four, what do you rate?
On a scale of 1 to 4, I'll give it. It's not even a 2. I mean, but
wow, from a fan.
Listen to that.
But should I understand?
Honey, is that how you want to treat your friends?
They had to wrap up the storyline. But I thought it was ridiculous. Okay. I mean, I've
never mind. I feel like one of those congressmen that got Rumsfeld to say he's sorry.
Right.
Okay, that's fine.
It's done.
You know, you said you're sorry about the bathroom, and you, we agreed. That show stunk last night.
That yeah,
friend show.
That's why we get along, Sugar. We see eye to eye on everything.
All right. Even when you're trying to patronize me, I see through it. But it's okay. I love you.
I love you, too.
I won the lottery the day I married you.
Well, good. I feel lucky, too. You have been wonderful lately. I mean...
What, just lately? Honey, you're wonderful always.
Just there you go.
Just on Friends, you get better and better and better.
So do you,
hey.
Darling. So do
all
you.
Right.
I'm going to play your birthday tonight in a lottery.
Oh, speaking of my birthday...
I know, it's a month away.
Please to...
One month from today.
Please to have a great Mother's Day, Frida.
All right, love you, baby.
Yes.
I love you. I'll see you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye, sweetie.
Okay, bye. There she goes. All right, now I'll tell you what Buzz said.
Oh,
no, I won't.
No,
I won't.
Well,
highly funny.
Yeah, just, you know, joking around with the guys.
And, you know, you with the jocularity. And I do mean, like, shock jocularity.
Wow.
Like, shock, like, ghouls humor.
Well, yeah. Summer, I get crazy.
It's guy humor. It's locker room talk.
From Buzz.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Salty.
Rob, if you could get this place in London, please. The Beckham place. I'd love to talk to those crazy, crazy ladies. The last note on Friend... On Friends.
On Friends.
Buzz, did you get the ratings on Friends?
I did, as a matter of fact. And not surprisingly, they won. They kicked butt. They got a 25.3 compared to CSI's 6.7 in the second half hour of that hour. But the Friends finale got beaten by the Seinfeld finale. Seinfeld had a one-third larger audience for its going away.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Than did Friends. Yeah, not too much either, but I think it surprised a lot of other people. So that's why we mentioned it.
All right, Dankeschön. We appreciate it. We have to break when we come back. Oh, no, not when we come back. But I just want to tell you, at some point on today's show, we have really got a booking for you today.
Ooh.
A soccer mom from Chicagoland. Buzz, I think you mentioned this in the news, and I said we're going to get her. We got her today.
Excellent.
She has John Wayne Gacy's brain in a jar in her basement.
Oh, God.
Yes, we booked her on the show.
Wow.
I don't like to pre-promote in advance.
Man.
But, yeah, it's a good booking for the show.
It's worth it. Serial killer's brain.
She's had it all along, but in the best interest of her children, she's just revealed it.
Wow.
She's very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
How weird is that?
Yeah, that's great.
I love it.
That's fantastic.
Mom.
Oh, and what is this? Hold on. Scott, I'll give you a few seconds before the break. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I just wanted to say that I thought that Mike's fascination with the bugs is kind of like Rob's fascination with the Canadian.
Sir. Please don't refer to them as simply bugs.
Cicada.
They're invading.
Yes.
Right, they're like Canada. They're
clearly
invading.
Oh. Yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir.
Hey, we love you guys in Salt Lake City.
Well, that's good.
We're having you on.
Do you have cicadas in Salt Lake City?
Of course they don't.
We do not, no. All we have is Mormons.
All right.
Plenty and plenty of Mormons.
All right.
I myself am one.
Okay. Are you really a Mormon?
Oh, yeah. I'm a 26-year-old virgin and with no hope. Of anything.
Oh, man.
But I love to talk to Mike, though.
There you go.
That's a good call.
Oh, there's a 26-year-old Mormon with no
hope of anything. But I have the Don and Mike show.
Thank you, my friend.
If you guys have a daughter or a sister or a friend you want to refer to me, I'm really okay with it.
Oh, this is a hundred man.
Well, now it's good. Now you're getting creepy.
Okay.
See you later.
Seacrest out.
He's a funny guy.
Good call. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt?
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wait till you hear what they done did. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Yeah. Yesterday, real good segment, very strong segment. It was a sexy buzz makes Mother's Day's call for you.
It was wonderful.
And we wanted to call the mom selected. Was named Pat.
Yeah, right. Pat, we weren't able to get through to Pat yesterday.
We did talk to the dad. His name was Gaines.
Mm-hmm. Gaines was quite a chatterbox.
And we're going to call Pat now to see if the mom got the message from the dad.
And the message was basically that Buzz wants to make mad, passionate love to her.
Mm-hmm. Well, must you always be so brutal, Mike?
I thought I was being gentle.
Must you be so vulgar?
I thought I was being loving.
I merely want to romance her.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello, is this Gaines?
No, it's Rob. I thought you were going to...
Hi, Rob.
Hold. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Rob.
Normally, you put it on hold until we get their permission.
Oh.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Don. Buzz.
Hi. Well, they're not even picking up the phone.
Huh. Maybe a moot point. And you know, you kind of went into it there, did you? You did that little
bit.
Oh, you just kind of did that automatically.
What is it you want? You don't want to make love to her, do you, Buzz?
I want to romance her. I am so sorry I misspoke, Buzz. I don't handle it this way.
You're vulgar.
I'm vulgar.
You're
not
an animal.
I'm not a you know, a Casanova like my friend over here.
Women don't like that kind of thing.
I'm real sorry I said that. See, here I was thinking
they're not answering.
Making love was a beautiful thing to say.
we'll find out what's up with her at some point later in the show. Jay Leno, I'm sure last night got a big rating, mm-hmm, with his Dopey Friends show.
They were all there, right?
And poor Letterman. Poor David Letterman.
Wow.
Here's his stunt idea. Have you heard his stunt idea for this week?
No, I have not.
Okay. David Letterman, in his made-for-May sweeps stunt...
I love the one he's called the Gap Tooth Comet.
Anyway, next Friday, he's going to tape the show at 4 a.m. Isn't that crazy?
Woo! Why is he doing that?
Because he's crazy.
Mm-hmm. What is the angle? What's the hook?
It's unpredictable. Hold on. It's one part unpredictable and one part exciting. Things seem funnier when you're really tired. It comes from... Who's Rob Burnett?
The producer of the show.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it to your attention.
But I mean, it'd be one thing if he was doing why don't you just do the show live?
Because no one would get up at 4 o'clock.
No.
Not a lot of people get up at 11:30 to watch the show.
Do the show live at 11:30. That's funny. That at least, mm-hmm, has an angle. What are you doing at 4? You're taping at 4 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. And even if there's even a trace of an angle, it's destroyed because it sits in the can until the next night.
And they're going to do it on a Friday. So the show won't air till a Monday. They're taping on Friday. No, I guess it'll air Friday night.
Friday morning
at 4 a.m.
No further explanation of that.
Oh, no, yes. There's a lot of quotes from David Letterman's staff. It was the writer's idea. Let me see. The staff thought that it would be some interesting shtick. Now, listen to this. Coming from the Letterman camp, interesting shtick because New York is the city that never sleeps.
Oh, my God.
Hello, I'm David Letterman.
I think it's a positively idiotic idea, Mrs. Carmichael.
Hello. Here are the top 10 reasons Mr. Drysdale will not give a loan to Jethro.
Will they have a studio... Will they have a studio audience?
Yes, they will.
Mr. Shannon?
Yeah. Yes, they will.
Wow.
And they'll have cameras in Times Square. Ooh. God, come on, Dave.
What are you doing?
You're killing me.
I mean, really, if you want a good idea, I'd watch it. I'd watch it anyway, but I'd like to see it live. Don't do the delay thing.
That'd be a nice
thing. Don't tape it all. You basically do it in New York City, when New York City's just waking up at 11:30.
I mean,
that would be it live. It's a live show.
Yeah, do it live every night.
For the week.
I mean, do it live every night.
Mm-hmm.
Every night of every day.
Well, that'd probably be a little rough on the staff, you know.
What, that they have to work it from 11:30 till 12:30 at night?
No, they'd have to, you know, probably if they did it live. I mean, the whole thing with those TV shows is they have the bankers' hours. That's the way they work.
I know, but wouldn't it be better if you wouldn't you watch it if you knew that it was live?
In a minute.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you watch it if you knew?
Yeah.
Because you know that he tapes it like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, just like Leno does.
You'd hate that if you had to do that schedule. You'd hate that schedule because it would cut into your TV time.
Late night shows were live when they first started.
You'd hate it because you'd be coming in at about 8, probably, 8 or 9. And, you know, get like Dave. What is Dave coming in? About 2, 2:30 in the afternoon?
Not, I'd love the Regis schedule. I love the Regis schedule. You get up first thing in the morning. You go. You do your dumb chat
and
show.
And you're done.
And you're done at 10.
Then you're done. Yeah. Then you're done for the day. Oh, and I love that. Anyway, that's a bad move by Letterman, who's a funny guy, at least a lot funnier than what's his name, Jay Leno.
Mm-hmm.
And Norman Lear, you know who Norman Lear is?
All in
the Family. Okay, he's a dope, too. I read this guy. Here's what he says. Norman Lear. He's the guy that invented All in the Family.
Right.
And Maude and some really great,
mm-hmm.
and that's a
well, good, he stole it from England, is that, what Norman Lear did.
Yeah, but he took his own twist.
And right. Exactly.
America,
he made it his own.
Pioneer.
Much better than the English show.
You're absolutely right. He did not make up the idea.
But in the great tradition of so many of the other shows, we took it from England.
I think he did make up Maude, though, didn't he? Yeah.
I think Maude was the spinoff.
It was. It was.
Anyway,
he broke new ground for American TV. Mm-hmm. So.
Good times. He says that the golden age of television is right now.
Right now.
Today. And I think Norman Lear should have his head examined. Really? No, I do. Buzz, really. Now, I know
I saw the list of shows that he liked.
Well, I mean, is he talking about the reality phenomenon?
No, not at all. He says, Norman Lear says, today's TV is better than back in the day because he likes Curb Your Enthusiasm, mm-hmm. South Park, and The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I call
Daily
that?
Show.
Yeah, and The Daily Show. Uh-huh. Okay, those are four shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a guy, though, don't you think?
There's about 500 shows on TV.
Wouldn't it be easy for this guy to say, hey, it's not like it was,
I wish he would, because this is not the golden age of TV. This is the golden age of Alzheimer's here. But you have a guy like Norman Lear, who back in the day...
See, that was the golden age of television, when you had Mary Tyler Moore, you had All in the Family, and MASH.
That's why I brought
MASH when it was good.
That's why I brought it to your attention. Yeah. Man, he's a guy. I mean, what TV is he watching?
You still look at episodes. You talk about Dick Van Dyke. I think I feel the same way about All in the Family. When I watch an old episode of All in the Family, it is... You know what? The difference between shows like All in the Family and anything else on television, you go back and watch All in the Family, and it's more progressive than television is today. It's more edgy. Mm-hmm. They do stuff that you couldn't do today. And that's very rare when you have a show.
Well, that's why I brought it. That's exactly the point. That's why I mentioned dope Norman Lear. Just shut up. Collect your Maude money and just shut up. If you really care, put something good on TV. And please, don't be like that dope Carl Reiner, okay? Don't believe everything you read about yourself.
Right.
Don't get Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore and old... plugged up Rose Marie together and trot them out next Tuesday night. I loved the Dick Van Dyke Show, and I want to throw up when I see Mary Tyler Moore, who really seriously looks like
Skeletor.
Someone could have an open casket and just say, Mary, please jump in.
I saw the first promo today.
I saw one last night during CSI.
Bad news.
Nasty.
Yeah, don't bring old people back.
Which has gotten wild.
Leave old people just for what they did. You know, and not only in showbiz, and I realize one of these days it might happen to me, and I only say might happen because the odds of me getting to the age of someone like Dick Van Dyke or Mary Tyler Moore, astronomical.
Right.
I'm in that category, sure to be dead by 50. But let's say I make it to 60 or 70.
Right.
For God's sakes.
Yes.
Don't wheel me out at like some high school auditorium. I'm in one wheelchair and Mike's in the other, and I go, now, here they are, back again, your favorite morning zoo guys.
There was that one time when Don did, I don't remember. I don't recall. Oh, yes, there was the one time we worked with, yes.
I've made.
Oh, dear. Please, someone get him a tissue.
Hello, Don, this is Alan. We're putting together a reunion.
Adam Goodman. No kidding. All right, that's him. That's him. That's all I want to say. This is a one line, not even maybe a real story. There's a British newspaper that has reported something I've not seen anywhere in America. When the cops went into Neverland Ranch and took all the stuff out, the mirrors and the tapes, police also found a crotchless, adult-sized, plush bunny suit.
Oh, dear.
This is... Now, if you want...
Wow.
Go to popbitch.com.
Wow.
This is where...
This is big.
This is where this was found.
This is a big story.
Among items found by police in Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch.
Bunny suit.
His crotchless, adult-sized plush bunny suit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. He's a... Should not say he's Jacko.
No, of course not. Look at me in my crotchless bunny suit. Hey, Norman Lear, let's talk about how great television is today in my crotchless bunny suit.
Hey, you can build a sitcom around that.
this happened yesterday. I didn't even bother to mention it because it was so stupid. Now it's got even stupider. The Spider-Man logo.
Right.
Baseball.
Oh, yeah. How many days are they going to do? They're going to put the spider now, webs on the bases?
No, now they're not.
Oh, they're not doing it anymore.
Now they're not because people like you and Thomas Boswell were upset about it.
Right.
Now they're not.
Yeah, I think it's horrible.
I don't think it... Listen.
Stupid.
Who watches baseball anyway? Why would you want to advertise...
I do.
Why would you want to... Well, present company excluded.
Right.
Why would you want to advertise a movie like Spider-Man, which is going for that young money demographic, when the young money demographic, if you were given away free heroin, you couldn't get a kid to sit down. You go, hey, here's some free heroin. How would you like to watch the Blue Jays and the Indians?
Mm-hmm.
The kid is, no, thanks. I'll have a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think, you know, that, I don't know. I mean, baseball is one of the, you know, it's not, you have the sports where there's, where the logos.
What they wanted to do was originally put on each of the bases, like 3 weekends from now or something.
What, a web?
A 4-inch square, red square, in the middle of first base, second base, third base, and home plate that had the Spider-Man logo on.
Mm-hmm.
They also wanted to put Spider-Man on the outside of the on-deck circles.
Okay.
And all the baseball purists said, oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can't have Spider-Man on the bases. So they've gone back now. Baseball's gone back and said, okay, we're not going to put Spider-Man on the bases.
Right.
But Spider-Man is still going to be on the on-deck circle.
Okay.
So
that doesn't matter because they put ads there anyway, don't they?
Does that make you happy, Mike?
I don't care. I mean, I you know, the thing is, what I had heard is that they were going to have, like, a web design on the bases, and I think that would have crapped it up a little bit.
I saw a picture of it.
I didn't know it was just a little logo.
You wouldn't even be able to see it as you were watching the game. I mean, keep in mind when you're watching, like,
a game. I think if they want to go all the way, have the players, you know, they do those throwback uniforms, have them wear Spider-Man uniforms.
Yeah.
And play baseball.
You laugh.
Complete with the hood.
Do you remember when the San Diego Padres wore, did they wear camouflage?
Right.
More than one game, they won camouflage, worn camouflage.
Don't you think this whole thing is played out just the way Sony Pictures wanted it, though?
Oh, and listen.
Everybody talked about it.
Weren't the ratings up, though, last year for baseball, too? Weren't ratings, through the roof last year for baseball?
At the end of the year,
yeah. I mean, the playoffs, it was the best playoffs World Series, so that was moving in the
right direction.
Well,
no, not the best.
I mean, they were significantly up.
They were up.
yeah, they were.
I mean, everybody's watching the playoffs last year.
But it's like saying G. Gordon Liddy's ratings are up.
Right.
I mean, if nobody's listening and then three people listen, well, his ratings are up.
I hate it when you attack my favorite sport.
Well, baseball has had awful ratings. Last year's were better.
Right.
But they still don't get ratings as good as football
or
NASCAR.
But for those of us who are purists of the game, we don't give an S.
All right.
We really don't care.
Anyway, I just want to say, money well spent, Spider-Man people, money well spent.
Indeed.
Because no one would have seen the ads anyway. You know, Mike, if it wasn't in the news, Mike, you probably wouldn't even notice.
I had heard...
That's a 4-inch square on the base?
See, I'd heard something different. I thought it was going to be like a design on the bases that would have been bigger.
No, yeah, the bases...
I don't understand what the whole thing was about. I mean, why would they put a logo on the bases anyway?
The logo on
you
the base...
You can't see the bases when you're watching a baseball.
Right. I'm sorry, Mike. It's not 4 inches. It was 6 inches. It was
still
six,
too small.
6 inches. And anyway, so who thought that six inches wasn't worth anything? anyway, forget it. American Idol... Oh, God. Ugh. Bob Dylan is going to be a guest judge next year.
Oh, my.
And you know why Bob Dylan's going to be a guest judge? Because Bob Dylan has requested it. Because he's like Quentin Tarantino. You know how we are mental about American Idol?
No.
So is Bob Dylan.
Oh, really?
But I'm watching. Here's the problem.
But I'm watching already.
Here's the problem. Bob Dylan sucks. And Bob Dylan.
Well, who do you think's going to jump in that casket first, Mary Tyler Moore or Bob Dylan? I mean, really,
All right, hold on.
That's a tie. A tie goes to the runner.
I'd say... Bob Dylan jumps in first.
Yeah. Wow.
I think so.
But you know what? As much as the first reaction is one where you go, oh, no. Then you say to yourself, hey, I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see him.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but the song.
Bob Dylan is like kind of had a comeback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, you know what? I'm talking about
regard.
Not in a popularity sense. And if he was 10 years ago, Bob Dylan was on stage. And I mean, it was like he was totally inaudible. Right. And I've seen him on specials where... He's able to express himself.
I understand what you're saying. I remember
not a popularity.
We used to play tapes of Bob Dylan.
Remember when he was comatose?
Right. Yeah, right.
Now he's like lucid.
Oh, is he really?
Well, we'll see on the American Idol.
All right. Anyway, that's next year, and they want Paul McCartney. They want Paul McCartney so bad for American Idol, and Paul McCartney is allegedly this close.
Mm, that'd be very cool.
This close.
That's
then they'd be
it's
able
the
to
biggest show on TV.
And they'd say we've got a Beatle. I'm sure you heard all the TV stations, all the radio stations about Michael Moore, the Disney, Buzz had the thing about Disney mm-hmm. thing with
right.
the movie about Bush. That's all BS. That's all BS.
What, Disney's going to distribute it?
No, less than 24 hours after accusing Walt Disney of pulling the plug on his movie, Michael Moore admitted he knew a year ago that Disney said we're going to pass on it. So it was
Michael Moore,
a little pub he was looking for.
I don't mind his politics, but Michael Moore is a little sneaky. He's like the sneaky fat kid.
It worked yesterday because everybody, you know, myself included, bid on it. You know, right. everybody loved the story. You know,
right.
wow, Disney's going to shut down Michael Moore's movie because it's anti-Bush.
See, you liked Michael Moore's TV show. I forgot what the name of it was. It was a very short.
It was called Only One Person's Watching.
And it was you enjoyed it. But I thought during that TV show that he was he was kind of unscrupulous.
He would do it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Here's Michael Moore. Michael Moore.
K-Like Radio, KIQQ-FM, Los Angeles, signs off the air.
Hello.
Forever.
That's Michael Moore, Scott Shannon.
Michael Moore.
Hello.
Big fat Michael Moore.
Hello. So anyway, I guess it's CNN found out. So good for CNN. They finally got something right. They found out. And, did anybody watch? I wrote to myself. Did anybody watch Luther Vandross yesterday? He was on Oprah. It's his first appearance
since his stroke. How's he doing?
I don't know.
You haven't seen it?
No.
I haven't seen it.
Anybody listening out there?
Anybody out there?
We love
to hear.
And finally.
I wish him Godspeed.
Hold on. One last thing before we talk to the lady with John Gacy's brain in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, everybody's sick of Donald Trump, but listen to this. Not the part about the Friars Club, he's getting roasted. Who cares about that? Donald Trump has admitted, if you get to People Magazine this week, People Magazine is a great bathroom magazine.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't really have to be paying attention. You can see something catch your eye. You set it down on the floor, you pick it back up. You go,
sure.
Oh, that's good. You rip it out. You look at it, and here's what I found. Donald Trump admits he's attracted to Rob Lowe. Now you tell me, if this doesn't sound like a homo. Listen, here's the quote from Donald Trump in People Magazine. You know I love beautiful women. This Rob Lowe, he's the most beautiful guy I've ever seen.
Wow.
That's your man, Donald.
That's disturbing.
I don't mean that's your man. I mean everybody. That's you.
Wow.
That's your man. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, Mike. I would agree.
I agree.
I think Rob Lowe,
is dreamy.
Rob Lowe, the quote is, you know I love beautiful women. Rob Lowe is simply the most beautiful guy I've ever seen.
Wow.
Donald Trump.
Rob Lowe, who really kind of set the standard for, you know, you make a sex tape and it enhances your career.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Mike?
Now everybody's doing it.
Mike?
Yeah?
That Trump story?
Yeah.
That was the button.
Oh, that was your button.
That's the button.
And it was a shiny button.
It was a shiny button and a dirty penny. And John Wayne Gacy's brain.
Exciting.
And a jar.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
This is good. Listen, this is the thing that I get excited about on our mm-hmm. show. I don't care if we have, you know, although I'd love to have, like, for instance, last night on Survivor, Big Tom. God, how could that hillbilly not see he was being voted out?
Right.
How could he not see that it's going to end up being, you know, those four?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's those four.
Yeah, the evil four.
I'd love to have Big Tom on. I'd love to have Hollywood celebrities. We don't have Hollywood celebrities.
I want Rupert.
But Buzz has a story on the news that a woman in Chicago's got John Gacy's brain in a jar.
Mm-hmm. His brain in a jar in the cellar.
That is when our crack staff on crack jumps to attention.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You want her? You got her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cheer. Have a can of beer.
The brain.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The first message is...
Hey, Rob. This is Robert the Mailman.
D.D. is for everybody.
Oh,
not just for the few.
George Michael.
Can share.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
This is Sam Hill.
If you're curious or confused, get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic. If you need help, see a doctor.
You've got bad breath, Buzz.
Oh.
Bad breath.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime. From anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
This is Ghetto-licious!
Broadcasting from the right side of the dirt, the Don and Mike Show.
Right, right. Mother's Day this weekend,
and I've just been handed, what are we giving away today?
Stand by for action, diamond stud earrings.
Oh, my God.
The Mervis Diamond Importers. Call 1-800-HER-LOVE. Thank you, Mervis, for the diamonds. We'll give them away on today's show.
Thank you very much.
Joining us now, oh, that's nice.
Very nice.
That's very nice. Joining us now is a woman from Chicagoland. Her name is Helen Morrison. And Helen has John Wayne Gacy's brain.
Helen!
In her basement.
Wow.
Let's bring her on now. Helen? Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. You know, when I heard the story on our news show a couple days ago, I said to the boys, you got to get this girl for us.
We got to get this woman on the show.
Now you work with, I know you want to plug a book, and we'll let you plug a book. It's funny that when the story made the news,
right,
when it was on Buzz's news,
they didn't mention anything about the book.
Buzz, you didn't have anything about Helen writing a book, did you?
No. Sounded just like it was a strange lady with a serial killer's brain in her basement.
Well, she knows about serial killers. Her book is called My Life Among the Serial Killers.
She's a doctor. You've interviewed a lot of serial killers,
yes,
right?
Yes, I have. I've interviewed about 60 of them around the world.
And John Wayne Gacy was the awful guy that liked to dress in the clown suit.
Yeah.
With the crawl spaces.
Yeah, and he had all those bodies in his crawl space. And does it ever creep you out, Helen, talking to these guys or keeping their brains in the basement?
Well, the brain doesn't bother me so much because I am a physician and I've been working with brains for many, many, many years.
Have you...
The reason he's in the basement is because it's the safest and most secure place he can be.
Okay, so nobody can get the brain. Right.
Have you ever... I'm going to ask you some, you're a doctor, and I'm going to ask you some questions that you might get from a 10-year-old boy, so bear with me on this.
It's okay, I've got one of those in my family.
Oh, very good.
Have you ever opened the jar to smell John Wayne Gacy's brain?
No, it really doesn't smell very good.
Does it look like a normal brain?
It's a completely normal brain. We sectioned it, we looked for anything like a bump or a bruise or a scar, anything that could have...
Good!
But nothing.
Is that scarier when you see that it's a perfectly normal brain?
Yes, it does, because we now need to figure out what in a living brain could be adding to the problem.
And you kept this, John Wayne, first of all, how did you get John Wayne Gacy's brain in a jar? And I don't mean that like shipping a bottle, but I mean, how did you, I understand you probably just unscrewed and put it in, but how did you get the brain in the jar?
Well, during the autopsy, one of the things you do is to remove the brain from the skull, and you put it in a solution that keeps it as safe as it can possibly be without falling apart, and then you study it.
So you have it now as for further study. You have it as a souvenir, as a morbid curiosity. Why are you holding on to it?
Actually, because as technology and understanding of how the brain function continues to develop, we're hoping that there will be some more tools with which we can take a look at the structure of this brain.
Did you talk to Gacy?
Oh, of course.
You interviewed him. I mean, I would think that would be chilling to talk to a guy like that. I mean, I know Brian Dennehy played him in the movie. I watched it recently.
And the role of his life.
The role of his life.
He's born to be John Wayne Gacy.
I mean, when you're talking to the guy, and you've seen these guys interviewed on the news magazines, but when you're right there, I mean, does the fear kick in at all?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't until it's over. Because one of the things I have to do is to be in the room with them alone without them being handcuffed or shackled.
That's like Hannibal Lecter stuff. That's crazy.
Well, but the problem is Hannibal Lecter was so human compared to what these people are. I mean, John Gacy killed at least 37. He buried 33 in the crawl space and lived with them, and it never entered his mind that it was a human being that was down there.
Clarice, I must ask you something now.
Helen,
I'm sorry. Clarice.
And the lamb stops crying.
You've got I know you're a serious doctor and everything, and you've got the brain.
Yes.
But if you could just indulge the idiot side of me for a second.
Are you still hung up on the brain?
Yeah. Like, when you have people come over to your house, you ever, like, you know, have a cocktail, you say, hey, come downstairs. You want to see something? I have John Wayne Gacy's brain. You know that sick F? I've got his brain. And then you pull out, you go, here it is, right here. Look at it. You want to touch it? You want to smell it? You want to lick it?
Doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen.
But you don't bring the brain out for anybody to see?
Nope.
Do you have any other? Do you have any other, like, Clarice? What was her last name? Starling.
Yes.
Well, do you have any other Clarice Starling moments when you went to see any of these sick, twisted?
You know, I don't even remember what her moments were, but I know she certainly got attached to him, and I don't get attached to my serial murderers.
See, that was one of the things I was going to ask you about, because in that movie, I mean, if we're using that as an example, they, you know, he kind of works her and tries to manipulate her psychologically. Do you ever get the feeling that these guys are trying to run any kind of game on you at all?
Well, sometimes they try to, but the problem is that I've seen so many of them, and I basically know what they're going to do in their behavior. And they also know that I know it, so it's a waste of time for them.
Helen, I know this will come off as crass and sick, but do you realize how much money you could sell that brain for on eBay?
The brain. He gets back to the brain again.
She's got John Wayne Gacy's brain.
You can't get by that well, she's got the brain in the basement.
In a jar.
Hard to ignore.
In a jar.
She's going to study it.
Is it in a refrigerator? Or?
No, it's in a formula, but I also have two of his paintings and slides of all of his organs.
Is he the most fascinating serial killer?
You know, no, he isn't.
It says here that you've interviewed a lot of these guys.
At least 60 of them.
Who would be the most, and I hate to say
fascinating. You said fascinating. It's like People Magazine is the most fascinating serial killer.
But I mean, these guys, who would be the one that you're like, geez, I can't, I mean, this guy, wow, off the chart.
Well, John Gacy wasn't bad, but Robert Berdella in Missouri was horrible. More horrible than most, because he kept detailed diaries of the experiments he was performing on captive victims.
How many people did he kill?
Well, officially about 8, probably more than that.
Wow. You got any other brains, or is that the only brain you've got?
So far, that's the only one, and hopefully we're going to be able to study more of them as time goes on.
Now, when you say study, and again, indulge me because I'm a dope. When you say study, will you, like, cut a little bit of it out and put it under the microscope?
Are you back with the brain again?
Right.
Yes.
What you do is
the brain.
You slice them, you look at the pathology, and then you look at the microscopic parts of it, and
mm-hmm.
if there's anything there that's unusual.
You ever put any on a cracker?
God, you and the brain.
Well, she's got John Wayne Gacy's brain in a jar.
To study it, of course.
Pretty unique.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, you know, if it was
so you got the brain thing, and I'm going down the whole serial killer thing that is so just
I know it
chilling
is.
To me.
Creepy.
And obviously, when you study these guys, your research and has your research in interviewing these guys done anything to
aid in helping to catch these guys when they're looking for serial killers?
What it has done has been to take away some of the preconceptions that people had about serial murderers, that they were all abused as kids, or they had crazy dads or moms, or they were neglected or whatever, that they're not, that they're wild-eyed, crazy people. That basically these guys are as indistinguishable as the person sitting next to you.
Mm. Have you heard
That's terrifying.
Have you heard of that wrestling manager, Bobby the Brain?
Bobby the Brain, he didn't.
No.
He's still on the brain.
I've got your brain on my brain. How big is John Gacy's brain? Is it the how big is an average brain, and how big is his brain?
Well, it kind of depends, but his is no different. He doesn't have any differences at all.
Mm. On the box or on the jar, does it say brain of John Gacy, or is it just unlabeled?
It's unlabeled.
Unlabeled.
And why serial killers, Helen? Why happened, you?
What happened was, when I was in training as a resident in neurology and psychiatry, I met an FBI agent who thought he was going to creep me out by showing me bad photographs of somebody who was pretty viciously killed. And when I didn't fall over, I asked him if I could possibly ever have a chance to talk to someone like this. And that was Richard Masick, and that was 30 years ago.
Wow.
So I met him about 6 months later, and just became totally fascinated by the fact that they didn't fit any theories of development or behavior that I knew.
The size comparison of John Wayne Gaines Bracy.
John, the brain.
You're even when you're asking about Gacy, you're putting brain into Gacy because you're so fascinated.
The brain. Size of a cantaloupe, size of a grapefruit, size of an orange.
A honeydew.
A honeydew.
So it is rather large.
Is it veiny?
Of course.
Is it... Would it be, if I was to get the brain of, say, 3 or 4 normal people.
Right.
And put them in a room. Put them all in a...
Play like shell game with it?
Yeah. Let's say I got Mike Ditka's brain.
Are you doing it all Chicago, a Chicago theme?
Yeah.
Jim McMahon's brain.
Walter Bain, Mayor Daley's...
Gary's brain.
Mayor Daley's brain. Let's say we got 5 brains. Could you pick John Wayne Gacy's brain out of a lineup of brains?
No.
You could not.
Wow. That's scary, too.
That's very scary.
After all this time, doesn't it have like a distinctive mole or birthmark?
You know what's scaring me over here is that I asked you a question earlier about the fact that, you know, do these guys have any characteristics? And you said they can be anybody. With all the research that you're doing, is there anything that we can... I mean, when we're trying to hunt these guys down, is there anything, any consistencies in all these guys?
Well, the consistency is that they treat their victims as if they were flies or animals to be beat up on. They don't torture animals or wet beds or set fires when they're little kids. They're not distinguishable in any way, shape, or form. I think what the research has helped to do is to say, look, whatever you think a serial murderer is, he's not as crazy.
Uh-huh.
Or as out of control, or as whatever, and
God,
investigators...
Wow.
Would you charge me if I came by? If I just rang your bell? Would you charge me, or would you say, go away?
I might commit you.
You what?
I might commit you.
You might commit me.
You don't scare easily, do you, Helen?
Nope.
Wow.
No, I'm not trying to scare.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about her interviewing, like, 60 serial killers, and she talks about this. I mean, it's pretty... So I'd be probably... freaked out
but I'd like
the
to
rest
point
of
out.
My life if I interviewed one of these guys.
Helen, besides being a doctor, though, you're a soccer mom, right?
I'm a hockey mom, actually.
A hockey mom. Okay.
Hockey and soccer. Hockey seems to be taking precedence.
You're a hockey mom.
Yeah.
You're a hockey mom with John Wayne Gacy's brain in a jar in your basement.
Wow.
Yes.
That's nutty.
That's pretty cool.
Rob asked this question. Do serial murderers have average IQs, or do they have higher or lower IQs?
Generally average to above.
Average to above.
Yes.
And do you think it's their brain wiring or their upbringing that made them come out this way?
Wiring probably added up into some environmental things, but nothing that would stand out. But
is there any hair coming out of the brain, or is it totally smooth?
Yeah.
Totally smooth as you are.
Helen, do you think that Don, with all these questions about the brain, do you think that he has the potential to one day be a serial killer?
No, I'm a lover, Mike.
Or a scientist?
I'm a lover, and I'm a lover of a woman that has John Wayne Gacy's brain in a jar in her basement.
Tell my husband that.
Well, don't tell my wife, and we'll be even. Helen, what is the name? Hold on, I know the name of your book. It's My Life Among the Serial Killers, right?
Inside the Minds of the World's Most Notorious Murder. Yeah. And that man, I got to read that. That's chilling.
Do you have a picture of the brain in the book? I'm serious.
As a matter of fact, I do have a picture of a slice.
Yeah. Yeah. You just sold the book.
You know, that'll be the first book I bought.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay, listen, Ellen, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Ellen. And again, the woman has John Wayne Gacy's brain in her bag. I just want to point that out.
It's true. It's unique. And I mean, this sounds like a fascinating, but my life among the serial killers.
Helen,
I mean, I'm scared. I'm scared. Helen, I hope you don't take any offense to this. I know Don's fascinated with the brain. I'm a little scared just talking to you.
Helen, last question. From your kitchen, from your refrigerator, how many steps to the brain?
About 450.
450.
Wow.
Okay. So in a pinch, and if you really need to, you could run down. How long do you think it'd take you from your kitchen downstairs and bring the brain back upstairs?
Depending how fast I run, about 6 minutes.
That's 6 minutes.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
All right, bye, Clarice. Bye-bye.
She won't do another interview like this.
No, sure.
No, but you guys are unique.
Thank you, honey.
Good.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Oh, that's great.
Here she is.
Yeah, interesting.
I didn't, that wasn't a fake interview, so we don't have to call her back.
No, but I will, because I want to get a copy of the book.
Rob, make that, too.
I just want the pictures.
Don, you have to get a copy, too, because there is a picture.
How's the brain?
No good.
Is it good?
Good.
I don't know. I thought it was bad.
Have you ever eaten brains?
Good.
Have I eaten brains? No, I have not.
I think
anyone?
I
no,
have.
I have.
Bad.
Human? You know, the consistency, much like pudding.
Ah, really?
That's the consistency. That's
really?
Not human brains, obviously, but I've eaten cow's brains.
I bet my brain is like pudding.
I think brains are all like pudding.
I bet my brain has the thick candy shot. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I think you'll be okay here.
I think they put brains in Scrapple.
Yum, yum.
I think we've all had it.
That's the brain lady. There you go.
Cool.
Now, that's as timely as today's headline.
Mm-hmm.
Just revealed she has the brain in her basement that we had her on the show.
And how about that? She did not. She was not unfazed by anything yet. Well, hell, she sits across from John Wayne Gacy. I don't think you're going to shake her up by asking her how many steps it is to her brain.
She didn't even get upset we played the clown music at the beginning of that. That went right by her.
She was cool.
Listen, this music means, phone scan time or whatnot. So call us at 877-365. I know I said it just to annoy you. I said whatnot just to annoy you. Come on.
Hey, if you see whatnot again, Rob's going to give you what fur.
877-365-3636. That's the number from America. From Canada, please be calling 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. We'll take your calls on the rotating random phone scan right after the break, which is coming up right after the phone call to the mom from yesterday. Just want to try this.
Are we calling Pat?
Yeah. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, ask her if she's got a brain in her basement.
Lovely.
Now I should probably shake her up a little.
This is the lady from yesterday's show, from our Mother's Day show, which was yesterday.
67-year-old Patricia.
We're not doing a Mother's Day show today. We did it yesterday with the sex brain.
And I misspoke earlier, Buzz. You want a romancer.
That's right.
Not all that nasty talk I was doing before.
Please.
Well, doesn't matter. She's still not there. We'll check back. If you remember on yesterday's episode, Sexy Buzz called Pat. Pat wasn't at home. Sexy Buzz spoke to Gaines, who is Pat's husband.
Let it ring. She might be in the basement.
She don't have a brain. She does, but not in a jar. We'll try her again later. And your calls on the phone scan next.
Brain boy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It could be only two people on the whole freeway. No matter what, you're behind the guy who's paying more attention to his cell than the stuff going on around him. How hard would it be for this man to go hands-free? If he had OnStar, he'd just push the white dot button and start talking.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free and voice-activated wireless phone built into OnStar-equipped vehicles.
It's already built right into the vehicle because that's how OnStar communicates with you, like when your car is broken. So you program the number in, and you push the button, and you say, call home, and it calls home, and you get better reception than you do with a cell phone.
And there are no additional long distance or roaming charges, so if you've already got OnStar, you just press the white dot button to order minutes and start talking. We both have it. It's fantastic.
Yes, this is a rare product endorsement.
Right.
And they didn't put it in our car or anything. As a matter of fact, didn't they want to give it to us? And we both said we would feel better if we just paid for it.
Yeah, we already have it. We didn't want to be indebted to them.
OnStar Personal Calling available in most markets.
Show.
We'd hate to be indebted to them.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, it's time for another kooky, crazy call.
Another kooky, crazy call is a copyrighted feature.
And this time, we're calling a pet store. And I'm going to disguise my voice and attempt to purchase 10 parakeets. Let's see what happens.
Hello, House of Pets.
Do you sell parakeets there?
Yes, we do.
Excuse me. How many do you have?
I think we have 7 or 8 at the present time.
Well, I'm going to need 10.
Well, we have another store in the area, and I'm sure we could get 2 more from them.
I see. In other words, you'd have to go to another store then, huh?
Yes, we would.
Okay, well, let me think about it, and I'll get back to you later.
All right. Thank you.
That's great. That's Albert Brooks.
The Don and Mike Show.
And this is Edward Van Halen.
Yeah.
Goodbye, The Don and Mike Show.
You know, that's one of those shows I got to think about. Van Hagar's coming back.
Right.
And I don't know how old Bart was when we went to see Van Halen. He was maybe 10 or 11.
I remember when you went to that show with him.
It was when this album, OU812, was out. A great album. And I remember that I got backstage because I'm a DJ.
Right.
And they were shooing all of the other DJs and record company people away.
Right.
And I'm standing there with, I think Bart was maybe 10 or 11.
You were backstage with Eddie, right?
Yeah, as Van Halen walked by, as they were sending people away, Eddie Van Halen, God knows what he was on that night, but he was coherent enough to stop for a minute and look at my kid, and he said, "Hey, little man," something like, "Why are you here?" And my son, because I like Van Halen. "What's your favorite Van Halen song?" He's Top of the World. Eddie Van Halen says, "Cool." He's like Otto from The Simpsons.
Right.
"Cool, you stay right." I swear to God, it's a true story.
Wow.
"You guys stay right here." So we stood like 5 feet right off the stage area,
right,
and watched Van Halen do 3 or 4 or 5 songs until he got bored.
That is cool.
He was 10 years old. He said, "Dad, I'm bored. I want to go."
He feels about concerts the way you and I do.
Yeah, well, he wants to go again now.
Right.
He wants to go. They're coming back this summer.
Do you think he'll be like you and only want to go see 5 songs?
You know, I don't, my worry is...
And 5 songs is pushing it.
My worry is that he'll want to stay for the whole concert.
But
even though I love Van Halen, yeah. I could stay at a...
Never can.
If it was Jennifer Aniston sings Beethoven in the nude, you know, I might stay for 7 songs.
But not the whole concert.
Not the whole thing.
Just meet him there.
Yeah, but maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah, but he's my kid. I mean, we should drive together. What?
You can hang out with him.
All right, I guess. But then what am I going to do? Like, leave before they do... See, that's the thing with, like, Van Halen. You can't leave before they do one great song.
Of
and
course.
Then, and
sure
then,
you can. Like then potato
they,
chips.
Then they do the one great song. You go, they had another great song.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start to get into it, then you think, oh, God, I'm here with 12,000 people, and everybody's going to be leaving at 11 o'clock.
This might sound weird, but, you know, my favorite part of a concert is the opening.
That's the exciting part.
Yeah, it's true.
It's all downhill after that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, phone scan. 877-365-3636. Here we go. Let's take your calls. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I was calling because I was listening to your interview about the brains, and that's not very common. I work for a brain collection here in Maryland.
You mean you collect brains?
Yes, we collect brains. We have over 800 of them.
It's a company?
No, it's work for a university.
Ah.
But we collect brains of
you know, in a way, that's what Alan Limon does. Alan Limon collects some of the finest minds in the world.
He has a very small collection. and I don't mean small in number. I mean, the brains that he collects are like tiny, like marbles.
Like Hummels.
Well, we freeze most of them, but we do have some in jars.
They're like M&M's.
Are they as good frozen, though, as they are fresh?
No, I prefer the fresh, but the frozen can get a little messy when they dissolve.
Oh, now you want to have some brain fun. When we had the woman with the thing on the phone.
I was too fascinated with the woman to ask her, you know, silly brain questions. I wanted to know.
They weren't silly brain questions.
It's just odd to have it in her basement, though. I think I'd get in a lot of trouble if I just decided to take one home and keep it in my house.
You know, I think she wasn't being entirely honest. I believe it was not simply her basement. I believe it was her laboratory.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was her shrine.
I believe it'd make a great centerpiece at Thanksgiving.
You know, you mentioned the shrine, though, but didn't she say she had she had the clown pictures?
Right. Mm-hmm. She had some of his paintings. Right.
I think even if you're legit, to crawl into that world, you got to have a little weirdness.
Oh, of course. Like crawl space.
Yeah.
Pick up the trap door.
Go on down to the dungeon. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, hi, you're on the air.
Bing bong, good guy, Friday time to you.
Not all, make that all. It's 14 till 5. You got to be somewhere. I got 14 together. Yeah, baby, double play weekend. You saying we play it.
Woo!
The station that reaches the beaches and rules the pool.
Yeah. Man, I can't wait till the big party at 5 o'clock.
Hey, I was wondering.
That's when we play bang on the drum all day. And Mike hits a snare drum.
Fantastic.
And I have a crazy clown horn.
And we bring in everybody from work, and we have them all gather in here and pretend they're having a good time.
And then we play working for the weekend.
Woo!
Anyway, what did you want?
I was just wondering, did you log any time with the Frogman and the Cowboy the other night?
Yeah. did I mention that on the air or off the air?
Off the air.
You didn't talk about it on
air.
Yeah,
no, I told the guys off the air that, it's flipping around. And there's Imus and his wife on Larry King's show, I guess on Wednesday night.
Don and Mike?
Stupid idiot.
Stupid idiot, Bernard.
I don't know if it was EastCoastBob.com.
How's my cowboy hat looking?
We got another mention.
Did we really?
We did.
Oh, my God. Do we have it?
No, we don't have it yet. I mean, it just happened the other night.
Right. Don and Mike?
I don't know.
Let's take a call. K-Pay, California. Hello.
Now, this is not from the other night. This is from the last time he was on.
Do you want to hear two guys? You're flustered, I was going to say. Right. They're so totally flustered by this phone call, and they don't know how to spin out of it. And I don't know who's more flustered, whether it's Larry or Don Imus.
It's Larry.
You think it's,
I really think Imus knows who we are and doesn't care.
Yeah, that's what it is.
With Larry, there's the history there.
Sure.
I
think you're right.
There's a real history. Here it is.
Imus, how you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or out of... Not on the air in New York, Don.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right? Don and Mike.
The best thing about that is we did not engineer that pause.
Right.
That was the amount of pause.
Las Vegas, hello.
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 Oh, and
Don and Mike?
Speaking of... thank you for the call. Thank you for reminding me to talk about that.
Yeah.
So Imus is sitting there, and he... You know, I mean, we talked about who's first to jump in the casket. Really. In front of Bob Dylan, in front of Mary Tyler Moore. Hell, he's right there.
Sure, and Larry's on his heels.
And he had his Slim Pickens suit on and his cowboy hat.
God.
And he has this ridiculous habit of chewing gum. Now, he's on TV. Now, keep in mind, you're on Larry King, mm-hmm. which means, you know, more people are probably listening to Cirrus satellite radio than watching Larry King. But still, you're on TV.
Yeah, it's national TV.
And mm-hmm. he's chewing gum, which I despise, you know, unless it's like Al Pacino in a role in a movie or something. If you're being interviewed on TV, don't chew gum. Mm-hmm. He's not even hiding it. And he's doing he's doing this thing where as Larry King is asking Don Imus' wife questions, he's doing the thing with the gum. So you can see it over his bottom teeth as he pushes it out with his tongue.
On Imus.
And then it got to suck fest proportions when Don Imus' trophy wife says, "And Larry, your trophy wife is so talented. Well, you were nice enough to play a Christmas CD on your show." And then Imus says, "Well, stupid idiot, we were going to make fun of it, but it was so good.
Oh, no.
I finally just had to play it."
And then Imus's wife says, yes, she's a really good singer.
Oh, God, horrible.
It was awful. It was awful.
Wow.
It was awful. Anyway, it's Friday, though, everybody.
Yeah. And don't forget, at 5 o'clock, we're opening up the ticket window.
And we'll have a new tape coming soon with
the new Larry King tape. Two of them. First off, I know someone will catch the shout-out to us.
Right.
But the other one we're going to have is the audio version of his book, Why I Love Baseball.
Oh, good.
Fantastic.
We've got it. Don't forget, two for the road, it's two for the show. All weekend long, it's a missed it by that much weekend. The songs that got all the way up to number two, I just didn't make it to number one.
I'm not really sure where they are.
Don and Mike?
Don and Mike.
Feed contest.
Don't forget this weekend. Sticks and Stones weekend, all sticks, all stones, all weekend long. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello.
I hear breathing.
Yoo-hoo!
Yoo-hoo! Maybe that was a brain from a jar calling. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, great. Calling from Portland, guys.
Right on. Portland, Maine, Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon, baby.
Portland, Oregon.
Listen, you guys have been on about 5 stations over the years. And we want you to stick around on this one. I just get into the show, and then, you know, they take you off for a while. And no, a lot's happened since last time, you know?
Well, this is the station. We're trying very hard now to make the show about having fun, and we'll let you behind the scenes when you need to get behind the scenes. But, you know, we just want the show now to be more about having fun and less about what a pain in the ass it is sometimes to work in radio. But if I could just get off that topic for 1 second and say, the station we're on in Portland now, KOTK, this is the station that we should have been on 3 stations ago.
Okay. All right.
So, having said that, it's AM, but it's 50,000 watts.
Great signal.
Goes everywhere. We should have been there from day one. I imagine that we'll be dominating as much as you can dominate on an AM station.
Well, that's good.
Very shortly. So, yeah, I'm glad we've always had good support in Portland, even when we were on with that 1550 thing?
Yeah, the tiny little one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're on a couple different stations. We love you out here. You know, we miss, like, a year of the show. I come back, people are divorced, things have happened, others have moved on, you know.
It's life. Mm-hmm. It's life.
I know, dude. Take care.
All right, thank you.
Hey, nice chatting with you.
Hey, take care.
Bye, ass.
Have a great time.
Anyway, it's a good station in Portland for us to be on, KOTK. Mm-hmm.
And who got divorced?
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing just great, thank you.
I'm all right.
I was just calling to ask you if you watched any of the Humanimals last night on Discovery Channel.
With everything else on last night, what else was on Discovery?
Humanimals.
Humanimals.
The people who modify their bodies so that they become animals.
Oh, my God.
No, we didn't know about
this. That sounds like a great show. Tell us about it.
Oh, it's a bunch of people. Like, there's Leopard Man and Lizard Man.
Are these people like that shave their teeth down to have, like, animal teeth?
You know, they get, like, implants so that they have animal teeth, and they get whiskers. They tattoo their whole entire body.
Wow.
Oh, well,
very cool.
What time was this show on?
We watched it at, like, 8 o'clock last night on Discovery Channel.
It's 8 o'clock, that's Survivor time. I was watching my own Humanimals last night on Survivor.
I think a couple of the people on Humanimals actually work in this building.
Hello. Don and Mike show, and they wear thongs.
Yes, they do.
Watch out when you bring food out.
Hi, Don and Mike show.
Buddy.
Hey, you're on the air. Hi.
What is going on? First of all, the ear bug, 17-year bug, scares the hell out of me.
Good.
I don't understand it, but it scares me.
No, I don't blame you at all, sir.
Buzz.
Yes.
I was out there when you were in Wichita. I lived in Wichita. I'm out of Baltimore now.
Oh, congratulations on the escape.
I'm glad we followed you.
Let me just put that on hold. Buzz, why don't you pick up line 9?
All right.
You can just talk to him off.
I'll handle that. He's got that kind of Midwestern.
Why don't you go ahead?
Go do it now?
Oh, no. You know what? You don't have the bank of phones over there, do you?
I see two on hold. I'm not sure which one it is.
Nah, he's on.
Which one is he, Don?
He's on number 9.
Maybe I'll talk to him.
Okay.
I don't have 9.
And while Buzz picks up the phone to talk to his big fan.
Take care of it for me, Mike.
There you go. It's line 9.
Hello.
How are you, my friend? What?
What? What's he doing?
I don't know. He's just rambling.
Yeah. Is he still talking? Still going?
Does he okay.
Think he, do you think he's talking to Buzz?
I think so. Well, I hope you like my newscast. Well, is it your favorite part of the show? I have an idea. I have an idea.
Get bent.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, you know what we forgot today?
Well, somebody's going to think you were mean.
We forgot the Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah.
Moment of the day. Fake newsman Bill O'Reilly. Every day he says something that's really important on his radio show. Here's what he said today, Friday.
You're going to fail in life.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill O'Reilly, moment of the day. Every once in a while, he leaves you with a nugget for the weekend.
You're going to fail in life.
Got the attitude, doesn't
Thank
he?
You, Bill. Thank you, Bill. Hi, Don and Mike's show. Hello.
You know, whenever you're attempting to do it, get a cell phone that works.
Yeah, if you're going to sing, you're going to perform, you got to have a good line.
Yeah, that's true.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, sir.
I love you guys. I'm so happy to be talking to you. You made my whole weekend.
I wish we felt the same way. I mean, we're happy to talk to you.
Hey,
I don't know if it's going to make our whole weekend or
now,
not.
Now, are you saying we make your weekend coming up, or we made a weekend in the past?
This weekend, I'm in my car stuck in traffic, and I don't care because I'm listening to you right now.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, well, that's nice. I wish I felt the same way about you. See you later, sucker. Hello, Don and Mike Show. There you go.
That was some, nice and naked right there.
Get some nice fumes. Uh-huh. Get some nice bus fumes.
Turd.
Excuse me. We don't use that language anymore.
No, but your don't. Tongue.
Quarter in the can.
Thank you, Buzz. Mm-hmm. Quarter in the can.
No need to talk to our listeners like that just because she wouldn't let you see the brain.
Hello. Not in my show. And you wanted to see the brain, too.
Oh, you bet I would.
I know you. You were trying to do your, hi, I'm the smart college guy, and I'm concerned about serial killers. But really, if we got in a room, you would want to smell it and look at it and touch it as bad as I would.
Yeah, we both play with it.
If it'd be gross, we could play CSI.
Yeah,
sure.
Mm. Come on. Just get a knife and fork.
And CSI. Man. Listen, I'm telling you that Marg Helgenberger. Can they give her any more tank tops to wear?
I hope so.
I am not complaining. But in Las Vegas, even when they're shooting a scene where everybody else has a coat on,
yeah,
she steps out of the van, she takes her coat off,
yeah.
Long, flowing red hair.
She can contaminate my crime scene anytime she wants.
She's a hot woman.
Come on over here, Marge.
You know who else is...
Is it Marg?
Marg.
Marg.
It's Marg. You know who else is slowly growing on me is that... Gorga Fox, whatever her name is.
Georgia Fox.
Gorga.
Georgia Fox.
J-O-R-G-A.
Gorga.
Yeah. Gorga. Gorga Fox.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know who's getting better looking, too, is William Peterson.
Well, Mike, I would agree, except he dyed his beard.
I know.
But that's okay. He dyed his beard.
That's okay.
You know what about Georgia Fox? She's America's gap-tooth beauty.
Hello, Don and Mike.
That's
Don and Mike. Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, man. I'm glad you brought up this topic right at the top there. How can you like Hagar better than Roth? I'm not talking the person. I'm talking the band, the era.
I'm talking... Now, listen, it's
you just said you.
It is.
There's only five good songs of Hagar. I can put up first album.
No. You misunderstood. There are more than five good songs with Van Hagar. Five songs is about all I can stand at any concert.
Yeah, and I just like the Hagar incarnation of Van Halen.
So do I.
Well, Mike Van Halen won.
Hey, you know what? I will tell you one thing. We went to, when we were up in Philadelphia, and we went to the Van Hagar, David Lee Roth show.
David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar.
Sammy Hagar came out on that stage and just kicked butt, and then the lead, they split it up. One guy does one set, the other guy. Mm-hmm. Well, David Lee Roth was the opener, and let me tell you something. David Lee Roth, he looked like a clown.
It was like
there.
A bad American Idol with like Casey and the Sunshine Band recorded music in the background. He's singing
Sammy Hagar, a real rocker, sir.
I want an answer from both of you guys.
Yeah.
You guys like Van Hagar better?
Yes, I
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
I do.
I can name five songs off of Van Halen 1 that'll stand up better than anything that those Van Hagar did altogether.
Hmm. Let's just go to, and it's such a dirty title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about, besides OU 812, which is great, the one, For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge? Figure out the initials.
Yeah, good album.
All right, no, not good. Great. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the album. Pound Cake.
Okay, look at Van Halen 1, Jamie's Crying.
All right, I'll give you that, but I'd say,
Jamie's Crying.
However, I'd say Pound Cake is equally as good as Jamie's Crying.
Okay, give me another one, Don.
There's nothing better than Pound Cake.
Hold on a second. How about, is this on the, Run Around? Here we go around and round and round.
Okay, Running with the Devil.
All right, on that one, I'd give you a runner with the devil is better than runaround.
Well, why don't we examine solo careers as well?
Well,
let's
no.
stand up. I can't drive 55 no. against just a gigolo.
Hold on.
Hey, I can't drive 55 is
unlawful carnal knowledge.
Quarter of the can, sir.
Right now. Right now!
That's a great song.
That one, you give me one from Van Halen.
Ain't
one.
Talking about love.
No, I'm sorry. Right now is the winner there.
Oh, come on, man.
And then you go to the song I just played, Top of the World.
Oh. All right, let me think. Eruption. Eruption and You Really Got Me.
Yeah, well, You Really Got Me, just a stinking cover. And they just got to do a stinking cover.
And Eruption is the lead into that. It's just an instrumental.
Yeah, it was just dumb David Lee Roth.
Okay,
1984. I'm sorry.
Let it go, dude.
And listen, I'll give you this. 1984, I think, was the best Van Halen album with David Lee Roth because that's when they started to merge their sound.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they started to become when Eddie got the keyboard going.
Right.
Indeed.
All right, see ya.
Peace out.
All right, see ya. Indeed.
I like indeed. Indeed.
Indubitably. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
Hey, I just want to make a comment. I hope it don't put me in the book, but your Bill O'Reilly fake newsman story of the day today, he didn't say that today. He was on vacation today. He had a stand-in, and I thought you said that he said it today, but he didn't.
Well, when did he say it, Robbie? Yesterday?
Actually, he said it today to me personally.
He said it to Rob personally.
He said it to Rob personally in the hallway.
All right, you're not going in the book, but it's just because it's Friday and we're feeling so great.
But watch it.
Thank you, sir.
See, and listen, hey, and also, you know what? Hold on. I am going to put you in the book. You know why?
Oh, really?
You know why?
Oh, don't do that.
No. You were listening to the Bill O'Reilly show.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, come on.
You were listening.
If Don and Mike were still on in the middle of the day, I'd listen to Don and Mike.
Don and Mike?
I appreciate All right. I'll let you slide. Get out of here. Right. Hello, Don and Mike show. He was
Don
close.
And Mike.
He was that close to going in the book.
You were firm but fair.
Hello.
Hello.
So were you, even though you're trembling with fear about those bugs.
Yeah, absolutely. And that lady.
Hello.
A scary brain lady.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
I would like to cordially invite you to the Testicle Festival.
we've talked about that in years past. However, why don't you leave the driving to us on that one, please? Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hello.
It's like negotiating a minefield sometimes, isn't it?
Hello there every time. Hello.
Hello.
That's somebody doing the Julia.
Oh, you're trying.
My daughter.
Hold on a second. I got the tape.
Hello. Hey, Mike.
I play the tape and then he stops.
Of course.
Yeah, what are you doing? Hold on. I'll play the tape and then you do it, please.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Very nice. All right, what do you want?
Mike.
What?
What's up, man?
What?
Question about your Hank's Reach Around Cafe.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Eject.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
There goes the free plug for O'Mara's.
That's well. Thank you, Don. I appreciate that.
Hello, Don and Mike.
And I don't like it when people say that wonderful name you call.
That's right.
I don't like the other name.
Not with a crab dip.
The Reach Around.
I don't like
it's
that.
It's either O'Mara's or Mike's or Hank's Look Around Cafe.
That's exactly. It can't be called anything else.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Radio gods, how are you today?
Oh, we're doing great, thanks.
Wonderful. Buzz, I'm glad you're feeling better and glad you're back.
Thank you.
I gotta tell you guys, the best show I ever heard was when you had 40 and Grady in. I thought that was absolutely hilarious.
Well,
the best
line good
I
news
ever
for...
heard on the radio was when Grady turned to somebody and said, you know, Irish whiskey makes me care about the white kids.
That was funny.
You know, speaking of 40 and Grady, we have not heard about Mrs. Grady.
Oh, that's right. And with Tamika.
Tamika was supposed to... Yesterday was the day, right? Because they were here for... Negro DeMaio on Wednesday.
We haven't heard whether the cab got them home safely.
We don't know. Hello, Don and Mike. And Mike Gazzelli was a rickshaw. No, I take it back. It was one of those horse carriage things.
Yeah, and it takes them a long time to get back to the hood.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Glenn from Vegas.
Hey,
Blind Glenn.
Hi, Glenn. How are you? And way to make it through by not using your nickname. Hi, Glenn.
I learned fast. I've started an NFL countdown. 132 days till September 9th, NFL's Thursday night.
Oh, isn't that great? Wow. Blind Glenn.
Way to go, Glenn.
And Blind Glenn, are you aware that the NFL channel will be running every exhibition game this year except the ones that are on the networks?
That is good. I love it.
You're a big football fan, aren't you, Glenn?
Love Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There you go, Glenn.
How do you like their new uniforms?
What color are they?
Hey, he's with you.
He's funny. All right, bye, Glenn. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hi there.
How are you guys? I'm not even going to ask you how you doing, because I know you hate that.
No, we're doing great. If we're not doing well, you'll know it.
All right. Had the pleasure of having dinner at Mike's Look Around Cafe last night.
Thanks. Look Around Cafe.
Here we go.
That's right.
Did you find a fingernail?
I didn't find a fingernail. I didn't find a toenail either. It was just horrible luck on my part.
All right. Well, then if you just send a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you a marble.
Hello. On to Mike's show.
Keep trying.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon, right. Second call from Portland, Oregon here.
Okay.
Why are you applauding now, Rob?
Applauding stupidity.
Oh, come on. What can we do for you?
I don't think the station you're on is KOTK anymore. It's KOTK is 1080 AM.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are in Portland on 910, the max.
Oh, well, you know, that's handy information to know if I'm giving out the wrong call.
Well, I thought maybe you'd want to know.
Especially if you're giving credit to that radio station that we might not be on.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. What happened? Did they blow up KOTK?
KOTK is still there, but they've moved Imus and local Rick Emerson to this 910 AM station, and that's the station you guys are on.
Ah. Then what is it? Well, then that's the station we should have been on all along.
Mm-hmm. Want to thank the network for letting us know that we were moved in Portland.
We only found out we were on in Portland when somebody called us to tell us.
Right.
Okay.
So what's the station again?
It's Max 910.
Max 910. What the hell? Max, what the hell's that about?
Station named after your dog.
And what, sir?
And I can't tell you precisely what their call sign is or any of that. All I know is that it ain't 1080.
Okay, well, what is it?
910.
Okay, 910 in Portland.
Yeah.
The max.
I stand by my applause.
Yeah. Good call, Rob.
Okay, you guys have a great show.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
All right, thank you.
You too.
Thanks.
I don't know that one.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yes, oh, last. You're the last call on the phone.
Someone called.
Oops. So anyway, say what you want to say. We'll give you a prize.
When are you guys going to share Baltimore's finest treasure with the rest of the country and do an interview on national radio with our Marty Bass?
Wouldn't it be great to get Marty Bass back on the
show? Listen, I'll say this to anybody listening to us in Baltimore and to Martin Bass. You have a welcome invitation to come on our show.
Open door policy.
Any day.
It's a tough get.
But we understand that Martin Bass is not pleased when we used to do the bit where it was Martin Bass and his nephew or his cousin,
yes,
Lance Bass.
Right. He didn't like that at all. But I like, maybe he'll come around now that you're calling him Martin Bass.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you guys could do a remote show out at a picnic table where you're cracking crabs and you could have crabs with Marty.
That's a wonderful idea, but it's Martin, sir. It's not Martin.
Martin, yes, Martin.
And incidentally, it's the same thing with Martin Short. Have you noticed when
Marty Short,
one of his dumb friends, one of his dumb Hollywood friends, comes on a show like Chevy Chase, goes, "Well, Ridges, this weekend Marty was out at the house." like we're supposed to know that's Martin Short.
There should be a law against taking the long version of a celebrity's name and shortening it and making it chummy. It shouldn't be allowed,
like Marty Sheen or Marty Landau.
Marty Landau, Marty, a good one. That is a very good one. All right, my friend in Baltimore. Listen, you're the last caller. What's your name?
Steven.
Steve, congratulations. It says here you've won tickets to see Styx and Peter Frampton.
Fantastic.
And how the hell did these guys get on the bill? Nelson.
I'm not going now.
Do you remember?
They're probably best friends with Dennis DeYoung.
Do you remember those beautiful, dreamy, long-haired, blonde Ricky Nelson sons?
We met those guys.
I know we met the posters.
Styx, Peter Frampton with Nelson, Saturday, June 30. I'm sorry, 26 at May.
Merriweather.
There's too much information on here for me to read.
Mm-hmm.
You've won tickets for the concert Saturday, June 26th at Nissan Pavilion. Tickets go on sale today, May 7th. Go to NissanPavilion.com.
Very good.
And give our best to Matthew and Gunner.
Yo, hold on. you know their name?
Of course.
Matthew and Gunner Nelson.
You have to know that if you're going to listen to After the Rain.
Oh, my God. Uh-oh. What was the first hit that they had, though?
I thought that was their only hit.
No. They had...
Before the Rain?
Hold on. I can't live without your love and affection.
You two. You two better start calling each other again.
Rob, what are you doing right now?
Right now?
Right now.
Oh.
I'm calling you.
Oh.
What are you doing right now?
Right now, I'm naked.
so am I.
That is disturbing. That's worse than the brain in the basement.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's natural.
Oh, God. I need a shower.
Okay, hold. Hey, you, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Hold on a second. A Friday favorite, and I might say as timely as today's headline.
Amen.
Wow. We come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We're concerned about AIDS inside our White House. Make no mistake about it.
Don and Mike Show. Smoother than Bacardi Limon. Don and Mike.
Hey, who's your DJ daddy? Here's Nelson.
There they are, and they will be on the bill with Styx
and Peter Frampton.
Oh, man, I tell you, well, get to that show about 10 o'clock.
Okay, am I? We get done with the break, and I said to Rob, you know, we could come back with rejoinder music with Nelson. I've got the CD. He said, where is it? I said, I don't know, but it has a blue and pink label.
Of course.
I'm not kidding. Look, see on the cover?
Yeah, Hanson Boys. And there was Styx because Hanson wasn't available.
Hanson's coming back.
They're all grown up.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have them on the show, too. The Hanson boys who don't have a major recording deal now.
Yeah, but last week, I think, they had the number one independent record in America.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's get into some good. Can you imagine this? You go to a concert. Hey, I know you came. Hey, Springfield Rocks. You came to see Styx and Peter Frampton. Now give it up for Nelson.
I'm just surprised they didn't become bigger.
They had two hit records.
And they had two, you know, and they were twins.
And look at them. They're like Siegfried and Roy, except they're identical.
You know, and there's something about me. When you have that hair, you don't need to wear the revolutionary clothes, you know?
There they go.
I disagree. Yeah.
See, this is the thing. People get it. This is my pet peeve. People are embarrassed about what they liked in the 70s.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, hey, everybody from the 80s, or when was this out? The 90s? Or no, that was 80s. Yeah. You should be embarrassed by this. It's not the big 80s, the go-go 80s.
That is the 80s, correct?
It's 90, isn't it?
I think it might be 90.
Yeah. 1990? Did they sneak in?
Just seems longer ago.
Because we had them.
1990!
Because we had them on our show and we were still playing. We're supposed to be playing records.
90.
1990. They made it into the decade.
Uh-huh. 1990. Listen, as I mentioned, for Jeopardy today, very, very serious Jeopardy today. Ooh. The topic is serious. The topic you've chosen is George Bush.
Good afternoon.
It's happening, dude.
How are you?
No, how are you?
It ain't good. I am not pleased with what's happening right now. I'll tell you, we're struggling, Don. We're trying to manage a catastrophe. A catastrophe of very large proportions, and I just would like to reiterate that Donald Rumsfeld is a good Secretary of Defense.
Oh, now look what you just did.
Yes.
Do you see that? You just knocked over. I'm sure you didn't mean to. You just knocked over that full bottle of Evian water that's sitting over there.
Well, I can't do what you want me to do because I did spill something in your studio. I'm just.
You were nice enough to clean it up, why don't you?
I accept total responsibility for the fact that that has fallen onto the floor, but I will not do that thing you want me to do.
Why don't you just say you spilled some water?
I accept the responsibility that there is water now on the table, mm-hmm. and I will make sure that that I put in strategic. What's that word?
You knocked it over.
Strategic borders in place so that that happenstance and whatnot does not occur any time in the future. But I can't apologize.
Okay, now listen. Okay, can we go off the record? Rob, can we get the cone of silence in here?
Yeah, I want to go off the record.
Can we get the cone of silence?
I can't tell you. I'm sorry. Hey, you understand that's not a sign of weakness.
Yeah. Give me a second.
It's a total sign of weakness.
Here we go.
I can't do that.
All right. I've got the cone of silence on right now.
Very good.
Let me pass. Do you have a cone of silence, or should we pass this one back and forth?
Let's pass that back and forth.
Okay, Don. George,
experience each other's breath. We'll see how it tastes.
I'm afraid it will
be like tasting one another.
You know what? We really might want to get a second one of these for Mike.
Yeah. Are you telling me that your cone of silence will be filled with cigar breath?
Yes.
Stale, awful cigar breath. Here, I will have my own cone of silence. Let us communicate like this.
So, George.
Yes, Don.
Now that we're in the cone of silence.
It is nice to be in here with you.
How come you can't
Rob,
say...
Rob, you've asked for a cone of silence for me. Find me one immediately. It pleases me greatly.
Look at one of Joe's like Pringles cans or something.
That's what I want. This does not sound like a cone of silence. This sounds like a paper bag over my face.
See, and actually what I'm using is a mini Pringles can, which we now use in the studio to put paper clips and junk in.
And what I'm using is something that you might see more commonly used when someone is hyperventilating.
It looks like you're having a panic attack.
Here we are, Don. I have a big presidential cone of silence right now. Listen to how big and bulky my cone of silence is as your president, George W. Bush, who is having a tough week with Rummy.
Then tell me now in the cone of silence, and then we'll lift it, but tell me...
We are in the cone of silence together, and we are having a seriously good time, aren't we, Don?
How come you can't just friggin' say... You're sorry.
I believe saying I am sorry is a definitive sign of weakness. And our enemies abroad, the terrorists and everyone else, will think that I am weak if I say I am sorry. So even something as innocuous as a spilled glass of water will not require an apology. You must not press me on this. You must support your president. You must understand these are issues
George.
Of national security.
George.
Oh my gosh, I'm starting to hyperventilate.
George, okay. Take off the cone of silence.
All right.
Remove the cone of silence.
It is a very, very good cone of silence. I am very, very sad.
You used
my weekend has been ruined. I was going to get a special advanced copy of Van Helsing. The movie features Frankenstein, Dracula, and Wolfman.
You know, yesterday...
How can you beat that?
I saw you on TV with the King of Jordan, and you did this thing where you said...
King Abdullah.
You said, I apologized... To him.
That's exactly what I said, and I'll say that on your show. I apologize to him.
Yeah, but now why didn't you just say, I apologize to him, and while I'm at it, I apologize to everybody else.
Please put on the protective cone of silence.
Oh, the cone of silence again.
All right.
There we are, Don. I told you once before, I am unable to apologize. It will be a sign of weakness to our Arab friends. And they will consider
Screw
me a
them.
Weak man. I
Screw
cannot
them.
Do that.
Screw them. What about your American friends who are like just a nun's hair away from voting you out of office?
I am very, very depressed right now. I'll tell you right now, this is not good to be in the cone of silence again. I wish to speak to your audience, and I wish to not be in the cone. Remove it immediately.
Cone out.
All right. I hope I answered all your questions off the record, Don, and I really wish you would not press me on this.
You really didn't. We don't have to go back to the cone of silence.
May I say that I have taken measures, and I understand that the Secretary of Defense has also taken measures to eliminate some of these pranks, blunders, and bloopers that have occurred in the prisons over in Iraq.
Now
I think this series of pranks, bloopers, and blunders that occurred do not look well on the United States of America. But I am in the process of trying to eradicate this stain.
What does eradicate mean? Eradicate. You just said
a strong word that means... vacuum.
All right, that's close enough.
Eradicate the stain.
That's close enough.
The country's honor that has been caused by these series of pranks, blunders, and bloopers. I am not pleased. It does not please me greatly.
Use eradicate in a sentence that has nothing to do with the Iraqi prison crisis.
I cannot.
President?
You've challenged me, and I have failed. You are one of the bourgeoisie elitists. That's what you are. You just think you're a highfalutin intellectual. I'll tell you right now.
Oh, no, I'm a dumb man.
You don't have to read books to be a good president. I just want to make that real clear to each and every one of you.
What was it like when you met King Paula Abdul yesterday?
I tell you, King Abdullah is a very, very nice man, and he's a very good, staunch ally of the United States. I apologize to him. How's that? Is that good enough for you?
No, it's not.
I let him ride on my lawnmower.
Oh.
Man, we had a good time. This merry mix-up...
Oh, dear.
This merry mix-up will prove that shenanigans will be accidentally silly with folly.
I understand.
I'm very depressed about these crazy hooligans that were responsible for these shenanigans.
You were fascinated with this guy, the king, yesterday, right?
King Abdullah.
Now, why were you so fascinated with him?
Because he's such a little guy.
You know, he's a small man with small hands and small feet. And, you know, he's from Jordan. And I'm really crazy about them almonds. You know, the ones that have the candy shell on them. And they're so tasty. And I told him this. And he said, well, Mr. President, I want to talk about serious things. I said, all right, it's the apology. Wish I could have brought him into the cone of silence.
Now, listen, I also heard...
This is a tough time for me,
son. Did you bring up the crown thing with him? How come he doesn't wear a crown?
I was disappointed, as I told him. I said, you are a king. You are not wearing a jeweled crown and a big fur coat that is red. You are not walking in on a red carpet. All kings are supposed to look like that. Misunderstandings will cause jolly confusion among daffy imagineers. It is goofy. I tell you, it is very, very goofy.
Why would it
be crazy circumstances that have cropped up?
Hold on, these are not crazy circumstances.
I also have a theory about those photographs that have been released to the media.
Mm. Okay, what's your theory?
You can doctor pictures. Mm. I think they're a series of fakes.
Listen, no, this is an awful tragedy. And what you should do is stand up and say, I'm the leader of the greatest nation in the free world.
That one picture, I believe that servicewoman was walking a dog. And then they superimposed a picture of that Iraqi that was on the end of that leash.
Uh-huh.
All right.
It's like I know it's an obscure movie.
I said that to King Abdullah. He wasn't having any, and he didn't even bring a court jester with him.
I know it's an obscure movie, but do you remember Mars Attacks?
Mars Attacks, a funny movie.
Do you remember where they took Sarah Jessica?
That's one where they all turn into like skeletons, and they're all in those space pods.
Yeah,
right?
they took Sarah Jessica Parker's head, and they put it on a dog's body.
It's a very, very funny movie. I have a series of comedies that I enjoy. Have you ever seen Good Burger? Man, that thing, I got that at the White House. You know, one of my things is I'll put a movie on, and if it's just a little too chatty, I'll get up and I'll walk out. I've got all the Schwarzenegger films. Yeah. So I like Running Man the best.
You watch Rumsfeld today?
I think Rummy did a good job. I'm very proud of him, and he is my Secretary of State. I need him for my cabinet, and he will stay there. I make sure. What's that? I'm sorry, that's the other guy.
Yeah. What if someone...
You can have him.
What if someone comes to you and says, hey, listen...
Look at the mess his son's making of that other agency over there.
Let's say that somebody comes to you, one of your trusted, right-hand
guys. My underlings?
Yeah, and they say, Mr. Bush.
Yes.
You're going to lose this election.
Now, bite your tongue, son.
But hold on.
You don't even joke like that. I'll put you back in the cone of silence.
Let's just say that they say, it's very tight,
Don,
with you and the other guy.
You've made me nervous. May we go retreat into the cone of silence briefly?
All right, if we have to. Hold on just a second.
I'm now in my cone of silence.
I had put...
Boy, it's dark in here.
I had put all this stuff back in mine. Hold on, wait a second.
Hey, holy moly. Take a look at that. You see that? That's a cicada.
Oh, no.
Look at him, red eyes, staring right out at me.
You brought me in the cone of silence just so Mike could talk about cicadas?
I want to tell you something, Don.
What?
Please do not say things like, we are going to lose the election.
But what if they said to you?
You're making me look bad, son.
Hey, listen, we're in the cone of silence.
I won't have you over for barbecue anymore.
We're in the cone of silence, so I can say this.
Right.
What if they said to you, you're going to lose the election, you got to do something drastic, you got to show you're serious, get rid of Rumsfeld. Why don't you just get rid of him?
Because... He knows all the places and the words and the big words and stuff like that. We can come out of the cone of silence and talk about this.
I've removed the cone of silence, but you are still in yours.
I'm stuck in mine.
Well, then I will crawl back in.
I am now in the cone of silence with Don.
Hold
this
on.
Is like a superhero.
Now look at the problem now.
Okay. Right.
I'm out of the cone of silence.
I'm in the cone of silence.
I'm out. Hello?
I'm a superhero president.
Hey, let me in.
Come on in.
No. I'm outside.
Who is it? Hey, Don.
Hey, you're going to like this routine. Ask me who it is.
Who is it? Knock, knock. Who's there?
Is Dave there?
Hey, that's Cheech and Chong. All right, let's get out of here.
Let me in the cone.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
I want to share something for you.
Okay, what?
I just wrote this on the way over here.
Okay.
I write some of my own campaign literature.
Go here on. He is, George Bush.
Look at this one. It's a bumper sticker
President
I'm going to put out.
Under fire.
Carrie's a fairy. What do you think about that?
That's
what I want. Well, that'll be a great bumper sticker. Man, that'll be fantastic.
But you're not going to fire a Dumsfeld.
No, he stays with me because he has a knowledge of the big words that I do not possess. Mm-hmm. And I feel it very important that I have him to consult me on things like, you know, I spent three hours working on just how to pronounce Fallujah. And he's good at that, man. I tell you, he's really fantastic. He's a good man, and I support him greatly.
Why do you support him greatly?
I support him greatly because he has been around for a long time, and he is a good Secretary of Defense. And the other thing is, he is, well...
What?
Good. That's it. I don't got any more.
What
I mean,
about,
that's it. He's good. He's a good man.
What are you going to do next week?
So's Condoleezza Rice and all my other peoples.
What are you going to do next week when the new pictures come out and these horrific videotapes come out that show U.S. soldiers mistreating these prisoners? What are you going to do then?
I will retreat into my private White House movie studio and watch Van Helsing as many times as I can because I get to keep all the copies of it, and then I will go out into the White House yard and I will eat cicadas.
Hey,
that's what I will do. I was talking, incidentally, for those of you around the country that don't understand what a cicada is, it is a bug that comes out of the ground every 17 years, and I think it's about the coolest thing. It's cooler than that brain that lady had.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think the cicadas are cooler than Jim Belushi?
You have to give me that choice. Why do you make those choices so hard? You know it's my favorite show, according to Jim. It's a good show with family values that everybody can enjoy, sit around the television as a family unit, and enjoy some good tomfoolery and hijinks with Jim Belushi, the funnier brother.
If you can't comment on the prisoners and what's happened, can you comment on the end of the TV show Friends?
The end of the television show Friends. I'm not down with that.
Mm.
I don't like Friends. I don't care for that show.
Did you watch...
Too much sex.
Do you watch American Idol?
I don't care for that either because you see bare belly buttons and stuff like that. It's not...
Survivor?
Survivor is another one. It's a pure sex show. And I really think that that's the kind of stuff that Americans don't need to see.
What do you watch? Do you watch Law & Order? CSI? Simpsons?
I watch According to Jim.
Sopranos? I mean, I know
watch
According
to... Even News on all three networks because it's a half hour. And I can digest everything that they're saying. And then occasionally I will watch Crocodile Hunter. Outside of that, occasionally will look in on Bobby Flay.
Are you still stumped on Wheel of Fortune all the time?
Oh, man, I can never get that. Man, the last one. Last night's was the most amazing one. Spirit of St. Louis. I could not get it.
Stop.
You know, and I knew he's that guy that flew that jet across the ocean.
What's his name?
Oh,
they named a cheese after him, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. All right. Cheddar.
Yeah, that's right. That's excellent. Who it is. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But those are my three. I enjoy that. And I love anything with Hal Linden.
And for the record, you won't say anything about Rumsfeld, except that he's good.
I have my prepared statement here.
All right, one more time.
Here we go.
Listen, while he's getting ready to read, let me say
Donald Rumsfeld is a good Secretary of Defense.
We need two callers right now. For Jeopardy at 877-365-3636. Oh, and the winner today, if we have a winner, we'll walk away with the diamond stud earrings for Mother's Day.
Ooh.
From Mervis Diamond Importers, 1-800-HER-LOVE.
Secretary Rumsfeld has served our nation well.
Hey, what are you getting that lump in the bed next to you for Mother's Day?
He's an important part of my cabinet, and he'll stay in my cabinet. I love that. I do that real well with the dramatic thing. He's important. And he'll stay in my cabinet, and the lump in the bed doesn't get anything.
Yeah, we read yesterday on the show that that's how you referred to your wife, Laura, as the lump in the bed next to you?
It's nothing because she gets anything she wants all the time, including that chance to fly in that big 747. I tell you right that, son, you get any other average mommy gets to do that. I don't know where our daughters are. I have no idea. God knows they're not going to send flowers or candies or nothing.
Hey, we need two callers right now for Jeopardy.
Jenna, call home.
Oh, look what you did.
Oh.
You dropped the newspaper on the floor.
Do not expect me to apologize, but I will call the King Abdullah of Jordan if he wears his crown.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I wish we were really big, like Dylan and his donors.
What do you mean big? We're as big as anyone. We have a hit show on CBS. Why can't you see that?
The Don and Mike Show. They will do you proud every time. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. We say have an acceptable weekend. Don.
Yes, George. I was thinking during the break about my favorite movies you were asking me about, and I omitted one, unfortunately.
Okay.
Shrek. You can't argue with that. You know, it's that Saturday Night Live guy.
I know. And isn't he great in that suit? How did they get Mike Myers into that suit?
Man, I tell you, that's just funny. That's good slap your hand down on your thigh funny.
You know Shrek.
That's good funny.
You know Shrek is CGI.
CGI?
Computer gravity. It's done by... There's not a real Shrek. It's like he's a computer image.
I thought it was like a suit.
thought it was made out of felt.
No, he's fake. Like, did you
look like that Jim Hansen?
What about did you see Toy Story?
Yeah, I saw that one too. I knew that one. That was what they called that. They did that with a computer.
Okay. Uh-huh. Same. What about Finding Nemo? Is that a real fish or is that a computer?
I don't know. Come on now. You're playing with.
Come
that.
On,
no, it's a cartoon.
Okay.
I know that.
What about Monsters Incorporated?
Monsters Inc. is a real.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
No. Wrong. You laughed. Animated? I'm not sure. Monsters, Inc. scared me. I did not like the big one.
Oh, just the big eyeball?
Yeah, the big one was bad. The little one was all right. I could tolerate him. I hate the big one. I hate big furry monsters.
Which one was
Mama used to always try to scare me.
Which was
Monster Under the Bed?
Was Billy Crystal the big eyeball?
No, Billy Crystal was the little green eyeball, Mike Wazowski. The big blue one, James Sullivan.
Yeah, your brain, you're making my brain hurt, son. All this chit-chat. All right, let's just say we like a good comedy.
Yeah.
How about that, huh?
Well,
I don't like anything with Eugene Levy. Except I won't see that Twins movie. Too sexy. New York Minute, not a chance. I ain't going to see that one, no.
Those girls remind me of your girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't want to go there. You understand? I just don't want to do that, son of a.
Hey, girls, if you're listening, this is Daddy. Call Mama. Here's George Bush. Let's play Low Budget. Jeff R.D.
This is Low Budget. Jeff R.D. Now entering the studio is a college student from Rochester, Aaron Hume.
Aaron.
Hey, Al Q, Lord Quizmaster, and Mr. President Bush.
Hi, Aaron.
Entering the studio is our second challenger. He is a quality assurance representative from Ogden, Utah. Let us say hi to Marty Meslow.
Marty with the party.
Hello.
All right, dude, listen, don't forget to answer the form of a question and blah, blah, blah.
And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Take a bow, Mr. Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you. Thank you, George, and fellas, Aaron, Marty, here are your categories. They are, hello, dear friends.
I saw one.
You saw one what?
And them bugs.
NBA playoffs, in or out. Mr. Jay Maynard.
Jay Maynard, I know that guy. I listened to your show when you were talking about him.
Who makes that cereal?
Yeah, oh, I love cereal.
And new on DVD.
I can't get enough of this stuff. I'm like that guy Seinfeld.
Here's the categories one more time. Hello, dear friends.
Yes.
NBA playoffs, in or out.
Way to go. I will congratulate the ultimate winner.
Mr. Jay Maynard.
Jay Maynard, funny. That equals funny. Funnier than Shrek.
Who makes that cereal and new on DVD?
This is a good Jeopardy, man. I like all your categories.
Marty with the party from Utah. We'll start with you.
All right. I'll take Hello, dear friend.
Hello, dear friends.
Hello, dear friends.
Number of seasons that the hit show Friends ran on NBC.
What is 9 years?
Oh.
Aaron, it's your chance to steal, son.
What is 10?
There you go.
That's $1 for you, and you're in control. Aaron, select again.
I will go with NBA playoffs in or out.
Negative. You have to finish Hello, Dear Friends for two.
Speaking of the NBA, I will cheer for the winner.
All right, I will take the second question for Hello, Dear Friends.
Good. Courtney Cox got her pre-Friends break in this guy's music video.
What is Bruce Springsteen?
Right.
$2 for you, Aaron. You are starting strong, son. Go again.
Everybody knows that.
I will go with the next category of Hello, Dear Friends.
All right, the last one in Hello, Dear Friends. They sing the theme that became a hit song.
What is the Remembrance? Rembrandt.
No, I'm sorry.
You sound like me at a press conference.
I gotta go with your first response. And Buzz, feel free to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, Buzz did the polite thing when the guy said the Rembrandt.
Covered my mouth.
Yeah. Buzz covered his mouth.
I laugh out loud. Let it happen, man. You tripped over your tongue, son. Marty, your chance to steal.
I'm going to go with, who are the Rembrandts?
The Rembrandts.
Right.
Remember. Man, that's funny. This is good. We're having a party now. Marty, you select again, son.
Okay, I'm going to go with Mr. J. Maynard.
Here we go. Mr. J. Maynard.
God damn, this is the category I wanted.
Mr. J. Maynard for one. The reason he was on our show, the Don and Mike show, a few weeks ago.
What was the reason why?
Thanks, Marty. Right. Come on, brain's not working quick. Aaron, your chance to steal.
What is the Tron costume guy?
Right, yes, made a Tron suit, correct.
$1 for you, Aaron, select again.
I will take Mr. J. Maynard.
TV chat show, he was on Monday night.
What is Jimmy Kimmel?
Right.
$2 for Aaron, you're smoking right now, son. Yeehaw, grab it by the horns.
Industry he makes his living in.
Living at home.
Marty, your chance to steal.
What is computer consultant?
There you go, Marty.
$3 for Marty. You have tied the score, believe it or not.
All right.
All right, select again, Marty.
Okay, who makes that cereal?
Who makes that cereal? For one, Corn Flakes.
Uh-huh. Kellogg's. Who is Kellogg's?
That was not in the form of a question.
I knew that one. All right, Aaron, your chance to steal.
What is Kellogg's?
Kellogg's. There we go. You have Kellogg's Corn Flakes.
I will take the second one.
They are delicious. All right, second one for two.
Super Sugar Crisp.
What is...
Hey, Marty, it's your chance to steal. I know it.
What is Post?
Oh, yeah, man. All right. $2 for you, Marty.
All right. I'm going to take who makes that cereal for three.
Here's a tough one. Cap'n Crunch. C-A-P-N. Cap'n Crunch.
Ah. Aaron, your chance to steal.
What is Quaker?
I'm going to give it to you. It's General Mills, which is a division of Quaker.
Oh. Yes, a division of Quaker.
I'm going to give it to you.
General Mills. It makes Cap'n Crunch. I like to pour milk on it.
But the parent company is Quaker, so I'm going to give it to you.
Very good. You ever have it with milk?
Yes.
Have cereal? Yeah, I always have cereal.
How about
milk.
The Crunch Berries?
No.
I
mixed it with Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, that's good stuff, too.
Hey, either one of you guys, did you see Rumsfeld on TV tonight?
No, I don't have cable. No, I'm
It was on regular TV. Did you see Bush when he was George here when he was on Arabic TV the other day?
No, sir.
Okay,
I don't
let's
think
just move
that
on
highly
to the next...
of Mr. Bush.
Secretary Rumsfeld has served our nation well. Wait a minute, hold on a second. You're interrupting your president. He is an important part of my cabinet, and he'll stay in my cabinet. I love that speech. That's great. Whole milk on my Cap'n Crunch. All right, Aaron, you're in control.
New on DVD.
New on DVD. Here we go. New this weekend, or actually, I guess it was that Tuesday. And why is it that Tuesday's the day that the new DVDs come out?
I don't know.
You know, wouldn't it make more sense to have them, like, come out on Thursdays?
Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, because people get them for the weekend.
You know when they come out at the White House?
When?
When I ask for them. There you go. Membership has its privileges, son. Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
How many times... have you watched Kangaroo Jack?
Kangaroo Jack is, it's almost wore out. It's really almost wore out, that little disc. You know, what you put in the laser thing?
Uh-huh.
The laser player.
You mean the compact disc?
Yeah, whatever that is.
The DVD?
That Frisbee you put in there, it's almost wore out.
Wow.
Plum wore out.
New on DVD for one. Star Tom Cruise.
What is The Last Samurai?
Correct.
Yuck. $1 for you, Aaron.
I'm with you there.
That is not a good movie.
I'm with you there, George.
I will take the second one.
Stars Greg Kinnear.
What is Love Actually?
Negative.
Not Marty, your chance to steal.
Hey, I heard you say shoot. No, it's Stuck on You. The one with Matt Damon, where they are Siamese twins. Oh,
walked
I like
out.
It.
Nah, I walked out.
Okay.
I like it.
Too dirty.
Too dirty.
Yeah. Aaron, you're in control.
I will take the final category of new on DVD.
Stars Hugh Grant.
What is Love Actually?
There you go.
There you go. $3 for you, Aaron.
All right, last.
We'll go with NBA playoff. In or out, please.
In or out. Here we go. The Detroit Pistons.
What is in?
Yes.
$1 for you, Aaron. Select again.
Second category?
Okay. Second question. Same category.
Categories are different.
Portland Trail Blazers.
What is out?
Right.
$2 for you, Aaron.
Close it out.
Okay. Boston Celtics.
What is out?
Right.
$3. You have run the last category, and that is the last round of, well, the first round in the second category that is.
No, that's the end of the first round of Low Budget
Jeopardy. Damn it. That's what I said. The first round. You got another round coming up now.
Yes, we do.
All right. I would make a good president.
Now, who's got what here, George?
Aaron finishes with an even $20, and Marty with the party has
$8. Hold on just a second.
Basketball's good. Maybe I'll buy a team.
Hold on. My hotline's ringing. Hold on. Hello? Yeah. Hey. Well, happy Mother's Day to you.
Uh-oh.
He's right here. I don't think he screwed anything up. All right. Hold on. All right. My love. Yeah, you too. I'll have Buzz call you. That was a good bit.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on a second.
Baby.
It's your mom.
Oh, do I have to?
Come on.
All right.
Mom, pick up. It's your mom calling.
Mamo.
Hey, Don.
Hold on. Bush is talking to his mom.
Mamo, how you doing?
No, I didn't.
Well, he said he would.
Well, I didn't know that either.
Of course, that's a...
I already did. I said I already did.
Okay.
Tell her you're on the radio.
I do. Oh, I'm sorry. Mamo, I'm on the radio with that DJ you hate so bad.
Oh, what do you mean she hates? I thought she liked our show.
Oh, no, I will. I promise I do. I sent them. Nope, they're not coming home, Mamo. I don't know where they are. They're your grandkids, too. I'll talk to you later, Mamo. Bye-bye. Man, is she mad.
Why'd you say she doesn't like our show?
She doesn't like it. She says you are a potty mouth. She does not wish for me to come on this program anymore.
Oh.
She does not like your potty mouth exploit. But she said she's very happy with the fact that I am sending her candy.
High butter candy.
Final low budget Jeopardy. Yeah, the other kind of, that dark chocolate makes your eyes bug out.
Here's the category. Here's your category, guys. What doesn't make your mom's eyes bug out?
Hey, man, that's my mom-o.
The category is Survive This. And here you go. Here's the answer. Oh, we've already given this out today on the show. Last night on Survivor, this person was voted out, leaving this person out of the final four. Okay, last night on Survivor, this person was kicked off the island. We need your answer in the form of a question, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive the official White House cookbook filled with delicious mouth-watering recipes from the kitchens at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Okay, DeForest Kelly.
You'll 1600 Pennsylvania. You'll learn how to cook all my favorites, like W's Super Cheesy Mac and Cheese, Daddy's Baby Backs, Juicy Bush Burgers, and Barbara B's Big Bag of Fudge. All these recipes available in Spanish and Braille. Now, back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy. Alex Trebek, Geronimo.
Can I mention that one of the things that I love about Bush,
Because
I've been saying what a dope he is all the time recently.
Hey, I don't care for that kind of potty talk. See, Mamo's right.
I do love it when you try to speak Spanish, though.
Ah, yes. Well, did you enjoy your Cinco de Mayo?
Who do we talk to first?
You want to go to Marty. He has the lowest amount of dollars.
Oh, okay.
Or I should say, dinero.
Martin, this person was kicked off the island last night on Survivor.
Who is Boston Rob?
Oh.
I'm sorry. That knocks you down to zero, Marty, but Aaron over here has so far been en fuego.
What does that mean?
Hot.
Okay. Aaron?
What is Big Tom?
Aaron, I want to tell you something. You are a big fat cheater. Hey, dude, why do you think we ask you to tell Joe the answer?
Oh.
In essence, you're writing it down. You're giving him your answer.
Oh.
See what this guy
is? I thought that.
You locked it in.
Oh, I see a tax audit in your future, Aaron.
Yeah. How can we be sure that these guys are being honest? Because on Jeopardy, you have to write down the answer, put it in the slot.
Right.
So we ask these guys, tell Joe the first thing that they say. And you put it up on the screen, so you're not able.
Oh, okay.
See, your answer
this is
on
this. My first time playing it.
Okay, and your last time, Aaron.
That's right, Aaron. Unfortunately, that knocks you down to zero, and that means we do not have any cash giveaways. Alan Landwan.
But Marty, the answer is Big Tom. Aaron told Joe during the time, Rupert. That was the answer he gave Joe was Rupert. Then when he got on the air, he changed it to Big Tom.
And I have a statement to make. I have an important statement to make.
Yes.
My fellow Americans, do not trust Boston Rob.
That means that, Aaron, you cheated. Cheaters never prosper. We have nothing for you. You'll get nothing and you'll like it. Get the hell out of here. And Marty, even though you lost the game, you don't get any money because you didn't cheat. You're still going to get prizes. Here's President Bush to tell you when you won, Marty.
Congratulations, Marty. You won a Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss an all-new episode of The Sopranos, Sunday at 9 p.m. 8 Central. And catch an all-new episode of HBO's new original series, Deadwood, at 10 p.m. 9 Central, immediately following The Sopranos. Only on HBO, but wait.
There's more.
You have won a pair of diamond stud earrings from Mervis Diamond Importer.
Mervis Diamond Importer.
Nobody pays retail anymore.
Retail.
Why should you call Mervis Diamond Importers at 1-800-HER-LOVE.
Mm-hmm. Very well done, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I've had a slapping good time here.
Aaron, you got to understand, when you lock in your answer with Joe, you can't change it on the air.
Oh, okay.
All right,
apologies.
It's a life lesson for you, but at least you're not going in the book, so have a great weekend.
Hey, Don?
Yes, yes, Aaron.
Tell Mike that I have a cousin that lives by Hank's Look Around
Cafe. Right, okay. Hey, Aaron, get bent, my friend. Marty, congratulations.
All right, thank you.
You're not coming back next week, but you still win the prizes because you didn't cheat.
Yay.
All right.
All right.
Cheaters never prosper.
Right. They don't. Hey, what about Donald Rumsfeld? Is he a cheater?
No, Donald Rumsfeld would make a good Secretary of Defense.
Did you say Donald?
Donald.
Donald?
Donald. You say Donald, I say Donald. I am very happy with the performance so far, and I hope the American people will see the light.
All right, George Bush. Well, listen, stay for the beginning of the news here before we do the...
my man right over there. All right. Hey, Buzz Burbank. Hey, I listen all the time. I hope you win the lotto this weekend.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. President.
There you go. Good luck to you, too.
Rock and roll, my friend. You're a good guy.
You think he plays the lotto game?
Oh, you know he
does.
I do.
Yeah, I bet you do.
That's on Friday night. Fish sticks night.
God, I hate fish sticks.
I think all married guys, once you've been married a certain amount of time, you play the lottery.
Every night. They're not even real fillets of fish. It's all like crushed up fish.
Well, you're at the White House. You should get real fish jumping off the plate, for goodness sake.
My mama won't let me.
Your mama, how old?
Not my mama down there, the one that's in the White House.
Oh, the big lump?
Yeah, the lump next to me. The lump in the bed next to me.
Lotto time. Was strictly forbidden.
Verboten.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
There he is.
He made it up.
There he is. Buzz. Now, Buzz,
yes.
Now, don't be offended if the lead story's about you, George.
Well, I can accept that. It's something you come to understand when you are president.
What is your lead story?
It's not really about the president. It's nothing negative about him. In fact, I think it's something he'll be interested in. Our top story today, our new secret weapon against terror, liquid banana peel.
Do you know anything about that?
I ain't telling nothing. Yes, sorry, but it smells good.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike
Don
Show.
Don and Mike Show. And George?
Yes, sorry, Donald, what a pleasure it's been visiting with you.
I'm sorry that we didn't have more time.
I'm sorry that we didn't have...
Ah! You said I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Oh, damn, you caught me, son. That is not a sign of weakness.
I was remembering, never forget, Love with Jeopardy's production of...
Boron Incorporated, and now I am panicking as I leave out of here.
Now, with my fish butt. That was professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Sniffalicious, the Don and Mike Show.
Right, chisel on the nizzle, the fizzle, and Buzz's News now brought to you by Viramax, world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Viramax, number one. It really works. Doctor developed.
Someone call for a doctor.
Clinically tested and patented. Viramax available at nationwide retailers. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Or just ask these girls. Bananarama.
They know.
Bananarama. There they are. I remember them well. Are they the ones we locked out of the studio?
Or was it the Bengals?
It was Bananarama.
Bananarama.
Bananarama. Bananarama. Back in the day. Like, sadly now, with everything on this show. Everything that happened yesterday.
Yeah. Right.
It's now back in the day.
Back right. in the day. Back in the good old days.
Well, no, those were not necessarily good old days.
They never were good old
playing
days.
Playing those crappy records.
No, not at all. It was always some battle.
Bananarama, though, this was a great one. That we were on against, you know, all these other morning shows.
Right.
And because we were the number one morning show, when the singers would come to town, we had the policy, you come on our show or you don't go on any show.
You come on our show at least first.
Mm-hmm. So they went on Q107 first.
Oh.
And
we were not pleased.
The
no.
record rep called and said, hey, I'm real sorry, but it was close to the hotel. We're going to bring them by. I said, sure, bring them by. It was pouring rain. Pouring rain. And we had an intercom system, like an old-time intercom system at the radio station. You can put it on the air. So we have Bananarama standing outside.
Right.
Pressing the button to get in like at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we're on the air going, who is this? And you hear, hey, we're Bananarama. We're here for Don and Mike. And we said, go away.
Because they violated the rules.
It was great.
We made it very clear what the rules were. They still violated the rules.
It was great. Bananarama to you, everybody. Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
About banana peel liquid. All of our agencies fighting terror, from the FBI to the Secret Service.
You know, Buzz, I didn't even realize how clever that actually was.
You weren't aware of the fact you were making as well subconsciously you did.
No, because the story's about banana, and that was banana.
I think it deepened your subconscious.
Uh-huh.
You pulled it out because Buzz had a banana tee.
No, I only pulled it out because I like that.
Well, it worked in any event.
It's a banana story.
So all of our agencies, from the FBI to the Secret Service, from the Marine Corps to the City of New York, have a new weapon for controlling crowds and enemy troops. Some call it liquid banana peel. It's an important part of what's really called the mobility denial system, which is a fancy way of saying people fall down. This should stop the unruly resistance in Iraq. The Marine Corps wondered, though, it's nice, but can we get a gun to shoot it with? And the Canadians said yes, or we, so an Ontario company just won.
Okay, that was OUI as opposed to WE.
Right.
Great magazine.
Yes, it was, or is, I don't know. So an Ontario company just won a $2.5 million contract from the U.S. Marines to build two guns for expelling liquid banana peel.
That's good. Give that to the Canadians. Now we have a chance.
One would go onto a soldier's backpack, the other something you could mount on a Jeep. So.
My question would be, though, hey, the banana's flipped. All right. My question would be that once you shoot this stuff, don't you have to walk through it, too, to get people?
How do our troops stand up? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's part of the secret. I don't
banana,
know.
They haven't banana, said. Three bananas.
Our guys will have golf shoots.
Old-fashioned ones.
And they should be wearing the banana splits costumes.
Yeah, that's it.
When they're firing the banana guns.
Yeah, because then they won't fall because they'll have furry feet.
The banana splits.
How you doing, Iraq? Saturday morning.
That's what this sounds like.
Didn't Mardi Gras.
Hey, we promise that we're not going to, like, torture you and take pictures of you and do awful things to you, but would you please just all stand in line while we shoot you with a banana gun?
Remember when we were kids, we'd have to wait till Saturday for this show.
And not to split hairs, but this was Hanna-Barbera, not Sid Mardi Gras.
Oh, my fault.
Anyway, the banana split.
After my time.
The banana split. Absolutely.
It was a radio show.
No kidding,
Ryan.
No kidding. It was a radio show.
My Little Margie.
Hosted by Jack Benny.
That's right. At the Republican field office,
Buzz used to like
the Lone Ranger and the Shadow Nose. At the Republican field office known as Fox News, they're all offended by Ted Koppel's reading of dead soldiers' names last Friday night.
Yeah.
They continue to come home in boxes at the average of about two a day.
Tell them to get bent.
By many as a tribute, Fox says Koppel's show was clearly political. So, to show the true meaning of fair and balanced, Fox's Chris Wallace and company plan to read a list of Bush's positive accomplishments in Iraq. The show is Fox News Sunday. This weekend, they call the report, What We've Accomplished.
Do you think Mike Wallace ever just looks at the TV and says, hey, you feel like calling his son up and going, hey, listen, you know, you're training on my good name.
Mm-hmm.
It's a respected name in broadcasting.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing on this nutty Fox channel? What are you doing with this right-wing crap? I mean, like Mike Wallace or don't like him, and maybe right. I just buy into the hype, I think that Mike Wallace is a guy who tells a story down the middle.
Oh, I think Mike Wallace has taken on everybody and everything without any... I mean, he's been on both sides.
No, I'd say all of those cadavers on 60 Minutes, all of them, with the exception of Andy Rooney, who's not real, he's fake.
Right.
But all of the people that do stories, even like Leslie Stahl...
Mm-hmm.
On 60 Minutes, you do get both sides.
Always.
You can make your own opinion.
Right.
On Fox News, you can't. And CNN, although they really don't want to admit it, they're kind of becoming the
counter-programming to Fox.
Yeah, the yin to Fox's yang. It's like if Fox is going to be fair and balanced but really going to be the Republican channel, then CNN will be, we're the station that tells you all the news but really with a Democratic slant.
And how can they compare the two? How can they compare the... Reading a list of what is it, his positive accomplishments?
Yes. In Iraq.
So, I mean, it's weird. Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it.
It just kiss ass.
And the busy bee lawyers at Fox News Channel have failed at their attempts to shut up a comedian, so they're now going after the owner of a billboard. The billboard Fox wants to post reads, "Now that CNN's ratings are gone with the wind, our work on this board is done. We love you, Atlanta. Brought to you by your friends at Fox News Channel." But the billboard owner is not comfortable with posting the sign, since it's right across the street from CNN headquarters.
See, now, I don't have a problem with this, Buzz, because this reminds me of the old days of radio.
Well, competition.
And this is competition-based. Right. This is not political. This is broadcast.
I used to love it. I was working at, they all run together, 13Q in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
And we were the AM station, and 96 Kicks was the new FM. That had, it was like, you know, hey, 96KX, all music.
Mm-hmm.
No talk. And we were the opposite. We were AM, all the screaming disc jockeys. We got a billboard for the 13Q armored truck.
And they had like, they gave us a list. We have five locations in the city. And seriously, we're having a station meeting where the schedule, we're going to spend like $25,000 on these billboards.
Right.
We could either have one on the main highway that goes right past Mount Washington, right as you're driving into Pittsburgh.
Great visibility.
Where you absolutely, you can't miss the sign.
Right.
Or we could have one in front of 96 Kicks.
I knew which one you took. Yeah.
And it was a vote not only of the disc jockeys, but of the staff.
There you go.
Because it was one of those things, hey, we're going to spend some money, we're going to market the station, you guys know where we live. We had five billboards to buy. We bought one in front of 96 Kicks. And it says something about the way that radio used to be, that it used to be everybody together against the other. The other guys were the bad guys.
Sure, that was the enemy.
It moralized the competition.
So I get what CNN is doing with and Fox here, because I can't tell you how many times we'd go out cruising and you would just end up in front of the radio station, 96 Kicks, and look at the big 13-kilo billboard, and we just laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
and we had nothing invested, and we were just stupid disc jockeys. But to us, the thought was hilarious.
Sure.
That when they looked out the building, when they looked out the window when they're doing their shows, they saw a 13-kilo billboard.
That is very, very cool. That's what it's all about.
And that's exactly what's going on here. So Fox has taken the spot in front of CNN.
And then they took it a step further, because there's an extra sign underneath the billboard. This sign is directed at the employees who have to walk past the billboard each day. This extra sign says, quote, sign up with America's Newsroom. Forward resumes to resumes@foxnews.com.
they have a sense of humor.
Right. The guy says it's his billboard. He feels he has the right to put it up or not put it up, but quoting Fox's lawyers, should you choose not to put up the billboard immediately, we will consider all options available, including, of course, legal options.
Oh, come on.
I see, that's where they lose me. I mean, you know, I'm not with Fox's presentation of the news, but I enjoy the graphics.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I enjoy Fox News Alert, all that other crap. So, you know, just play along.
Right.
Just play along. And if they don't want you to put up the billboard, you got your publicity out of it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Let it go. It's not 13Q and 96 Kicks. It's not important like
that. I haven't liked the Fox channel since they rejected my idea for a newscast.
What?
Fox's Foxes.
Oh, good idea.
Well, that first they would have to hire an attractive woman.
Yes, and they never did that, and they never said, hey, you know, I just wanted a bunch of women in shorts.
You need the Foxy News Channel.
Absolutely.
Eisner's Disney can't seem to wash its hands of the Pooh people. The estate of the late author A.A. Milne, whose Winnie the Pooh characters now belong to Disney, the estate says it's been cheated out of millions of dollars in merchandising, Pooh Bears and Tigger Cups and such. Disney got a judge to throw out that complaint. But now the estate's lawyers say the judge and his ruling should be disqualified because they say the judge is in bed with Disney. They say they don't know how. Don't know how, but they know it. The judge did write in his decision that Disney was a, quote, joyous and profitable company. The judge wrote that. And he did disregard an earlier judge's ruling that Disney had shredded pertinent documents. Instead, this judge ruled that the estate had lied and stolen evidence.
So what's the author of Winnie the Pooh? It's like A.A. Milne? Is that the name?
Right.
So is it his estate? Or?
Yeah, his family. It's a different name now because of marriage. And
bother.
Exactly.
Oh, and Pooh.
Yes.
If I could just mention Pooh for a second on Winnie the Pooh.
Have you heard used to mention Pooh all the time on this show.
Have you heard the Outcast song, Roses?
No.
It says, you think you're poop doesn't, another word, doesn't stink.
Right.
And then the hook of the song is something like, your roses smell like poo-poo. I mean, you'd like it. It sounds like Hey Ya.
Yeah, all right.
Except it's not Big Boy. It's the other Outcast guy. Whatever.
Andre 3000.
I know it's been on the album for a long time.
I'm dressing like those guys for Mother's Day.
Anyway, roses smell like poo-poo.
Wow.
I had to pull my son and I'm watching the video. You know, again, thank God he's home. He can clear these issues up. I said,
yeah.
Is he singing your roses smell like poo-poo? And my son looks at me like, he goes, isn't that what it sounded like? I said, you know, a lot of times songs don't.
Sure,
They don't it doesn't sound like, but oh, now it makes sense.
Right.
You think your doesn't smell. Well, your roses smell like poo-poo.
He's hipping you up.
Like there you go.
Well, creepy as it is, and you've alluded to this, but here's the actual story. Creepy as it is, there are websites counting down the days until the Olsen twins turn 18. The twins, who now prefer not to be called that, own a big production company.
I saw them on Letterman last week, and man, we are not talking about two women that have been gifted with any kind of gift of intelligence.
And can I say something else about them, too?
Sure.
They are the absolute story of children who were cute as youngsters,
mm-hmm.
and now both of them are growing into, in my opinion, mm-hmm. big horse faces on yeah. both of the Olsen girls.
Yeah, it's scary. And yet there are tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of men, maybe more in this country, who think they're hot.
Hey,
all right, weekend's here, get a can of beer. And they've just used their production company, because they're rich, to make a movie about suburban sisters on a big city adventure. It's rated PG, but if the websites
rated PG! Disorderly!
But if the websites are any indication, the audience will be full of grown men. Because in the movie, the sisters, actually mostly, appear naked or run around Manhattan in nothing but a towel or a flimsy white shirt that's been splashed with water. There are also bathrobe scenes and dreams about being naked. They'll be 18 soon.
Hey, you know, I predicted when they were little kids that they'd be in Playboy someday.
Yeah, well, that'll probably happen. There's a snake scene.
But maybe they're too rich, so they don't have to. Yeah, they're going to have to fall on some hard times. You're right. Yeah, they've got all the
they'll probably be in Playboy when they're in their 60s.
The money that they've got from, like, their DVDs and all of their dumb kitty movies that they made.
Oh, you go into a toy store, that's all you see is Mary-Kate and Ashley. Mm-hmm.
There, you know, I hate to even say this, but the one great thing Steve Guttenberg said, he said once, can you tell them apart? And he said, yes, one smells more like tuna, the other like salmon.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thanks for going, Steve Guttenberg.
He's brilliant.
In many ways.
So, and the, yes.
I know. The unheralded star of Cocoon. Don't get me going on Rob. When Rob gets going on Guttenberg.
The body of work. Guttenberg. We hated Guttenberg for a good long time.
Academy?
He couldn't ruin Cocoon, and I was glad that they didn't let him ruin Cocoon.
So, you know, can I just say something? Steve Guttenberg
mm-hmm.
is... than what Jim Belushi is now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the two are interchangeable.
I love his Bible. There's a snake scene, if you get the symbolism, in the Mary-Kate and Ashley movie.
Whose Bible?
The Gutenberg Bible.
That's from when Buzz was little.
Yeah.
The Gutenberg Bible.
I'm so
I don't get it.
Sorry, I stopped that.
Is there a Gutenberg Bible?
Yeah, there is such a thing.
Yes,
yeah. Sorry. The movie's called New York Minute with Mary-Kate and Ashley. The countdown to that movie continues at those websites.
I really think between the Bible and Rob just bringing Gutenberg up, it's almost killed the show right now.
Well, we apologize for that.
Not me, I'm happy.
The Gutenberg, I've never heard of the Gutenberg Bible.
That doesn't matter. You figure...
Okay.
Is that anything like the Book of Mormon that you get in the hotel?
Yeah, let's say it is.
Okay.
The Gideon Bible.
You figure, once you've... And this is our grim story of the day, by the way.
Gideon.
You figure that once you've dragged a man to his death with a...
Hey, Gideon. Great Bible. It's no Gutenberg, though.
That's right.
How could you possibly read any Bible that says Gutenberg? Wouldn't you immediately think of Steve Gutenberg?
His picture's on the cover.
How about that? He's God. He's God.
He's not as Jesus.
Yes. Hey, the show lives!
You figure once you've dragged a man to his death with a pickup truck, you've inflicted just about all the pain you can on him and his family.
Hey, it's your new Grease Man Show.
Yeah, remember that? Even though the awful men who did that to James Byrd Jr. are either executed or spending life in prison, someone else has found a way to make it worse. They've desecrated Mr. Byrd's tombstone there at the city cemetery, chopping it down at the base and carving the N-word into the granite. It happened a couple of days ago. Apparently, no one has been arrested. It would be illegal and possibly immoral to punish...
Let me just say that, Buzz. We have to break here. Uh-huh. Just notice how my friend, Mr. Big Mouth, silent during that story.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, he should be.
There you go. And if anybody asks, he's got an alibi.
Mm-hmm.
He was with me.
Right.
He was with me. We were talking on our princess phones, on our princess picture phones.
Will you be logging a lot of time on your princess phones this weekend?
I predict yes.
Yeah. Oh, I know we will. And here's how I know we will.
Huh.
Both of our wives are going to their mother's houses
uh-huh.
for Mother's Day. I mean, they're coming back, but they're going now to visit the mother without us.
Right.
Both Carrie and Frida are off to see their mothers.
I say starting at happy hour tomorrow, leave the line.
You know what you guys need to do? You guys need a red phone.
Yeah.
We do.
You need a phone where you don't have... It doesn't even have buttons on it. It
doesn't
you
ring.
You just pick it up and it rings directly to the person's house.
Because you know what you're going to get tomorrow from me? And
under a glass dome?
Yeah, right. And that was really more like a coffee...
like a pie thing.
A coffee cake thing, like in a diner.
Right.
Remember in the day... I said it again, sorry. In the day, you go into a diner and there would be a pie or a cake.
That would be under a glass little cover.
Yeah, and that's what the bat phone was on.
Exactly, and that's how our phone will be.
So...
It won't be red, though. It'll be brown.
So the weekend is shaping up like this. Rob's wife and kids mm-hmm. have already vamoosed to go to her mother's.
My wife has left to go to her mother's.
Frida, your wife?
Yeah, Frida, my wife. Mm-hmm. Bart, my son, my boy, Elroy,
right.
He starts work tomorrow. I imagine by 1:30 tomorrow, I will be in the bag, and Rob will get the first call. Isn't solitude great?
Right.
Well, if nothing else, you're going to want to pick up the phone and compare lottery numbers.
There you go.
Hey,
but go. You. You're the bad penny, Buzz.
That's right.
What's next when we come back? What's next?
An update on the dog that was kicked like a football.
Oh, I remember that story. Oh, hold on a second. Here is the hotline.
Sure, I just realized what I have stored in the closet I didn't have a good use for, and now I just thought what a great use would be. Mm. It's that picture phone that we never used with Grandma.
Oh. Yeah, you guys can use the picture phone together.
Oh, yeah, you know, hey, Robbie, I'm such a faggot with Rob. I gotta stop that. I turn around like, hey, Robbie, yeah,
we could go out to the barn and we could make a show.
I don't want to look at Rob. Honey, I don't want to look at Rob. I mean, no, and he don't want to look at me either.
Oh, sure, then you could show each other things, too. I mean, if there's something funny, you could show it, you could point it towards the TV.
Don't you remember when we had the video cam in here for, like, on the web, and we were just putting up things like the Ace of Spades or a CD cover?
Yeah.
It would be fun.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
We do have those things. We bought them for us and for my mother-in-law, and, of course, like, everything, no offense, with old people, everything. It was like, she said, I can't figure out how to work
it. Too intimidating.
It's the simplest thing. You look, it's called Beamer.
Right.
It's not expensive at all.
Yeah, it was. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about giving it to Carrie to sell on eBay, but this is a better, you guys could play cards.
We can play cards. Okay, thanks for helping, honey. I'm not that desperate.
Screw poker.
All right, bye.
All right, goodbye.
Maybe you could read the Gutenberg Bible together.
It'd be good.
Buzz?
Yes.
What was next?
An update on the dog that was kicked by the football.
Oh, the dog that was kicked by the football.
Like
Gutenberg
football.
The dog.
Gotcha. We'll be right back. I'll see you on the picture phone. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. It's the sacred time. The time for Don and Mike.
Yeah. Time for BTO.
Yeah.
Or maybe on the weekend, forget the tea. Just some B.O.
Yeah.
Some B.O. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. It would be illegal and possibly immoral to punish a man by kicking him the same way he kicked a dog. So Gizmo's owners say they think they'll sue the jerk for $200,000.
Oh, right. I remember this story, and I remember I felt awful.
Mm-hmm. We all did.
For laughing? About, for about 2 seconds.
Right.
When I laughed at the thought of it was two guys. One guy teed the dog up.
Three guys all together.
They
yeah.
killed it, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah. They did.
One guy hiked the dog. The other guy teed it up.
Yeah.
And the third
and
guy came in.
I like the idea of them suing him.
I think this was your button.
Yeah, it was a button story, right.
The 16-year-old Yorkshire Terrier was killed last month when it was allegedly kicked football style by Chad Daniel Crawford, who then reportedly did a little victory dance.
Give that fan a contract.
He's now facing up to a dozen years in prison with some guys who used to own pets. And he's now facing this civil suit from Gizmo's owners. The two guys who danced...
I love when you do the prison love reference.
Yes. The two guys who danced and laughed with Chad on the day of the kick do not face criminal charges, but the owners are suing them as well.
And they'll win.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, is there video or are there eyewitnesses of this happening?
There are witnesses. There were people in the neighborhood who saw this occur.
That's an awful story.
It sure is.
That's not behave yourself. There's nothing funny about
drop. And you start chuckling.
Drop kicking a dog through the goalpost.
I start chuckling at you.
That's not funny.
Just so cotton picking inappropriate.
You know what else is not funny is John Wayne Gacy's brain in a jar.
You're still fascinated.
Underneath
that, aren't
some
you?
Some broad's steps down to her basement.
You're gonna be flying to Chicago this weekend.
How far do you think you can kick that brain?
Hey, it'd just be all mushy.
Yeah, it's like putting it disintegrate.
You'd be like kicking a snowball.
What if you froze it though?
Oh, then you hurt your foot. Why, you think the lawyers didn't think of this already?
This is a stupid show, isn't it? You know who could kick it, though? Would be Tom Dempsey.
Yeah.
The guy with the longest field goal, tied the longest field goal, because he had half a foot.
Had that iron plate
on his toe.
Yeah,
almost like an unfair cripple advantage.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you think the lawyers didn't think of this already? They say despite what you heard here yesterday...
Look how long it took for a man with 10 toes to tie that record. Jason Elam, almost
30 years. And he had to do it in the mile-high conditions of Denver.
Yeah, where the air was nice and thin.
When Jason Elam kicked his 63-yarder.
But even Jason Elam's is not as significant as Tom Dempsey.
Oh, no, Tom
Dempsey. I remember that kick. It was incredible.
Is the greatest.
He played for the New Orleans Saints, right?
It was against the Detroit Lions.
Yep. Yeah.
When Elam dies, I hope to have his brain.
Show it to me on the picture phone.
Yeah. I shall. We'll smell it.
Stay with the princess phones, boys.
Boys. Bye-bye, boys.
Bye-bye, boys.
Don't think the lawyers didn't think of this already. They say that despite what you heard here yesterday, no ex-employee is going to flip on Michael Jackson to save themselves from conspiracy to abduct a child charges.
Those are Michael Jackson's lawyers, right?
Actually, we're talking now specifically about the lawyers of his former employee.
They call me an animal.
They have lawyers.
They call me Jacko.
Hey, we heard about your bunny suit today on the show.
Crotchless.
Wow.
Shame on.
This would be the prosecutor's strongest card, this abduction thing, if only they had an ex-employee who was willing to testify.
This you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. He's should not say he's Jacko.
Jacko.
We've heard that the prosecutors do have ex-employees willing to testify, and we've heard that they don't. The lawyer for the two men most likely to face charges of conspiring with Jacko say his clients will not plea bargain because they're innocent, too.
Hmm. So what do you think yesterday? We were talking about this buzz,
right?
That it looked good for the prosecution
because
they had people who, because they had nothing to lose, they would roll over, no pun intended. Now,
they had this charge, and they were indicating that they had witnesses to back up this charge. Now, the defense for these guys are saying, hey, you don't have these guys after all, so we're just going to have to wait and see how it plays out.
Something about that California border, when you go over that line, you get those district attorneys that are on drugs.
Different kind of justice.
And hey, Governor Schwarzenegger, just in case no one told you, the state's on fire again.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the whole left corner is on fire.
The left corner.
The lower left, and that's how I look
at
California.
Usually
like,
the part.
Like Hollywood Squares, you know, the Charlie Weaver.
Right.
Charlie Weaver and Rosemarie are burning to death right now.
Do you think God forgot that you were still the governor?
Hurry, because it's getting up to Paul Lind.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't Sacramento ever burn?
No.
No.
Too far north.
No.
Someday?
No.
No.
Nobody wants to kill the tomatoes. Doesn't got the Santa Ana wind.
Good.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hey, did you know, though, that the Kings did beat? I mean, if we could stop the Dallas joke for a second.
Well, they beat the Mavericks.
Yeah, and they beat Minnesota in the first game.
And they're on a roll. And go Kings.
So how many more do they have to beat?
19.
It's a best of 19?
17?
Best of 37?
48.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this rematch, it's 27 games.
However, here's the problem with basketball. And for someone like me, I have the season pass.
Right.
So I watch the game. I like the Lake Coast West Night games. Here's the problem. You've got the Lakers and the Spurs. That's a pretty good series. I want to see the Lakers go down like everybody does. Spurs are up 2-0. They played last night. You know when they play again? Sunday.
Wow.
It's like, how am I supposed to maintain any kind of feeling that of excitement
momentum.
And momentum with this?
So you were putting down baseball before, and they play every night.
Yeah, that still stinks. It still is boring. But I want to see. I want to see these guys.
Don't call it bad. Don't call it Jacko.
I want to see these guys play. Come on. Give them a travel day. Give them a rest day. But you're giving them 3 and 4 days off in between. And you know why they're doing it? For TV. Because they want the Lakers and the Spurs to be on ABC on Sunday.
Yes, on a primetime.
That's why. PU. Mm. Just put the games on. I want to see it now. I want to see them now. I want to see it tonight.
While you have the momentum.
While I'm anxious to see it. Go strong. Go strong to the mic.
Bring it strong.
That's where I learn all of my urban,
all your lingo.
All of my urban lingo comes from watching the NBA playoffs.
You did great with 40 and Grady the other day.
Yeah.
Did you watch your NBA? Impressive.
And you know, we never heard about that baby. And you know what else we never heard about?
What?
Was that, hey, Rob, you still got the number of that mom, or did I put that away?
I think you have it.
Yeah, we'll call Monday. See if the husband never did anything. Let me see. Hold on a second. What is this? Boy, I'm sorry if I'm going to stop the show here. Basketball playoffs, page 10C. Last night, who played? Indiana and Miami. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
I'm looking through the...
Now, they play... New Jersey and Detroit plays tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Minnesota-Sacramento. Game 1, won by Sacramento. Game 2, Saturday. Game 3, Monday, Wednesday. And then all of the rest to be announced. San Antonio Lakers, game 1, game 2, then game 3 Sunday, game 4 Tuesday, all the rest to be announced.
Hmm.
I don't know. Just play all the games in a row.
Look at this page. Red Sox in first place by one game.
Huh. Read this page. Mike to give Tom Gavin all over nude body massage.
You know that TBA, though, and I know you were talking about you hate baseball, but seriously, that I have tickets. I'm going up for the big Red Sox-Yankees series, and it's a big event in Boston. That TBA, to be announced, it's a killer.
Yeah.
Because I don't know whether I have to make a plane reservation for Sunday afternoon,
oh, you mean even
Sunday
for,
night, or Monday morning.
Oh, you mean even for the Red Sox-Yankee series? They've not announced
both games, the Saturday game and the Sunday game, TBA.
Huh.
And you know that's probably going to be an
TV.
8 o'clock Sunday night game.
Because of TV.
Right. That's just not... I mean, it's really not fair.
I mean, really, with basketball, you do lose the momentum. I mean, you get into watching a team, and you say, okay, this is going to be a great series. The Lakers and the Spurs are killing them. I'm watching going, great, they'll be on again in two nights. Wait, what? They're on Sunday?
Has no one fought that?
Sunday? Sunday I'm going to be watching NASCAR.
Right.
And I read in the paper today the coolest friggin' thing I have ever seen at NASCAR, and I want to say I want to go to Dover. I want to go to the track at Dover because this is what they have.
Ding, 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 ding.
What they've done is they have built a giant pathway,
right?
A giant bridge underneath the track.
Over, you mean over?
Over. So
you said underneath.
Okay, I meant underneath. No, it's on top.
Okay.
Let me see if I can describe it.
You're getting excited.
I know. Here's the big circle where they drive the cars around.
Uh-huh. The track.
At one point on the track, there will be
a footbridge.
A restaurant.
Right.
That is on top of a bridge.
Oh, very cool.
And as the cars go underneath, it has a glass floor.
Oh, very cool. Ooh.
And as the cars go underneath at speeds of up to 200 miles an hour.
Oh, that's cool.
You feel the floor
sure.
vibrate. It's the closest you could get to being in NASCAR.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Without actually like running out on the track and getting hit by a car.
Right, that is very cool.
I mean, and it's only for like super Donald Trump type guys.
Oh, really? It's like an elite box or something like that.
It's a DuPont thing. Oh. That they're only going to let millionaires up there.
Going to cause their souffles to
and
fall.
What did I read? Like. They're going to have a lottery to let fans sit there.
Oh, okay.
But, oh, would that be the great...
Well, nice to do something great like that, and then they don't open it up to the...
Oh,
people.
Is that good? That's a Dover. Jeff?
Yes.
Yes, Jeff.
There is no NASCAR Sunday.
No NASCAR this week? Is there Bush this
week?
Oh, it's
Mother's
Day. It's Mamo's Day.
Mamo's Day. They don't run NASCAR on Mamo's Day and Easter.
Naturally.
Easter Sunday and Mother's Day. No NASCAR.
You are correct. Buzz.
Finally... In Britain, a new skin patch is about to go on the market that increases a woman's sex drive and increases the chances she'll arrive at destination bliss when she acts on that drive.
I got hiccups.
The patch was designed for menopausal and postmenopausal women whose interest in lovemaking often fades around age 49. But then it was discovered that the patch not only increased lust, but increased the number of happy endings for women by 56%.
Wow.
Quoting one doctor... This is exciting news. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you know who?
No!
You know who likes that?
Who?
You know that old bag, the gossip columnist, Cindy Adams?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She likes it.
Patch Adams.
They call her.
Sorry, that's all he got.
There. Yeah, I just pictured Cindy Adams, in that position.
Yeah! Have a great and safe weekend, everybody. Love you, Frieda. Love you, Bart. We'll see you Monday with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 See y'all at the lottery.
Yep.
And you, I guess I'll talk to you about... five sips into my first drink tonight.
My line is open. Gutenberg, out!
Chinese food. Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.